find yourself in danger when you're shopping by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink a super soak and chose a bag that's for a lock. And he will bring the skin alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can do.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and manzer-ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house of Zog Babylon, the third and the final. This is the introductory segment to the Movement Turd number 81, and I'm not quite sure what to call it, but it was from 31st July 2011, and folks, I figured out how to use TalkStew and how to go ahead and use it inexpensively and actually have a chat session. And in the meantime, let those people who want to listen to it, listen to it. Now, in this section, I go ahead and talk about April Gatty pretty well betraying Edgar Steele, about Hadding and Don Pauley, of course, have been shitting on Edgar Steele, about the nigger getting 65 years who killed Dickie Barrett. Go ahead and discuss a number of things, folks. But, folks, what we need to understand, first and foremost, is that we do not have a nigger problem, or a beaner problem, or even a Jew problem. We have a wigger problem. You see, Yahweh has cursed us because we have forsaken Yahweh. And he said he would do that way back 3,500 years ago or so in Egypt. And then a little bit later when Moses was leading us around the desert in the wilderness of sin, to where he said, and when I give you your blessing, and when I give you your birthright, you will forget me, and you will disobey me. And as a result, I would go ahead and make you be put very, very low, and the racial alien, especially the Jew, would be brought very, very, very high. So folks, Yahweh knew what we would do. And folks, it's just part of the pageant of what is coming about here. And folks, pretty well, the crescendo and the end of the play is coming up very, 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 very soon. Essentially, from what I gather, they would, and they did, avoid a, quote, overt default, although, essentially, they have not cut spending or anything like that on this deal. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and finish up. This is about a three-hour program. I hope you enjoy it. This is the Movement Turd, number 81. And I'm still not sure what I'm going to call it, but it doesn't really matter. I'll think of something. So, folks, hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, super wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Wiggers keep remembering how good
good dog used to be. Being tied long ago, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Wicked's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop.
Okay, folks, I got, 30 minutes? So I'm going to start this damn thing, and then I'm going to go ahead because, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me? Hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, that's good. What I'm going to do, now that I think of it, I may in the future just go ahead and give one of you guys, who I can sort of semi-trust, the actual account number, now, of course, and then to give you the password, and have you take over if, essentially after 30 minutes, this thing don't go ahead and work out okay, because, if we need to go ahead and continue. So, you might be eating for a night or something. Anyway, Frank and Rigger sort of give out a bunch of hints, but we will see how smart they are. It took me about 15 minutes to set this thing up, but it's with an old email account. So, if it could shut down, I'm going to have to go back to square one. All right, folks. Greetings, ogling wigger and manzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in an open-air coast-to-coast net house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also, in which case, folks, you're not going to be hearing this show live on TalkStew. And the reason you're not going to hear it on TalkStew is that you've not been invited. But old Frank and Wigger went ahead and gave a few little hints here. But we will see. We will see. In any case, and also to the found sheep of the house of Israel, you chose the seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call. Now, last night, I was fighting with, I had the inkling of going ahead and creating 20 questions to ask Brian Real, because he was supposed to be on the News Mamzer show. He calls himself News Guy. And I decided not to do that. And the reason I decided not to do that is, very good reason. Essentially, I sort of thought that Brian Real would pussy out on showing up. Because what the hell is he going to say? I'm a mamzer. I like taking down people's web pages. I like stalking people. I like whining like a pussy to the FBI and the Secret Service and the BATF and all the web hosters and 101.com and the Lake County Sheriff's, Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department, and telling lies and making malicious complaints. What the hell is he going to say? But what ended up happening is that Brian Real didn't show up, and yesterday, I'm going to go ahead and recondition an hour of Great Tribulation. I found to make it a dual seed line Christian identity, a real dual seed line Christian identity church, which will be set up on the Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God plan as I did it, as I heard it for, approximately 10 years when I was from the ages of 10 to 20 or so. The last year or so, I got away from home, and folks, I didn't really bother to attend Herbert Church, the Armstrong's church. I decided, once I flunked out of Rolla, to essentially go in the Army and pretty well get away from anything which had to do with Herbert Armstrongism or anything like that. Anything remotely like that. I was, what, 20, 21, knew more than Daddy, and, well, I always knew more than my mother, who was an idiot. But in any case, it wasn't really till, it really wasn't until, what, after truck driving and stuff like that, I decided to sort of come back to it. And I really started out as one seed liner. And anybody who says he started out as a dual seed liner, like Clint Downey, and become a single seed liner, is a liar. Is a total liar. Once you go ahead and become Christian Identity and a dual seed liner, you're going to be like either David Lane, who became a wokenist, or you're going to become like Tom Metzger, who simply became a solipsistic atheist. Who essentially believe, I mean, and the main religion in this Zogland is solipsism. It's worship of self. It's not Christianity, and it never was. But folks, there is no going ahead and going like Clint Downey. She was the first one who came up with this crap. Oh, I used to be dual seed line, but Linstead and Willie Martin were so rude to me. Well, Linstead certainly was rude. Willie Martin was the most meekest and mildest man ever. Willie Martin was never rude to anyone. At all. Ever. So, getting on with it, what we end up having is that, she went ahead and came up, the first time I ever heard anybody claim to go from dual seed line to single seed line. And essentially, she went to her no-devil horse shit and took her little meerkat with her, Mark, to Sheldon Emery's no-devil horse shit. And, folks, it's, you know, it is a form of one seed line-ism, although it really can't be called seed line because essentially they're saying that there is no seed line. Satan doesn't have a seed. They're not even a one seed line. There is no Satan. So, in any case, getting on with what did I get off on that here? Anyway, it's been a fairly interesting thing, but Brian Rio showed up. Well, he didn't show up. Essentially, after fiddling and dealing around for 15, 20 minutes, he ended up calling Brian Rio, and this character, news guy, said, well, there's some rules. You cannot use them. You cannot call him Brian Rio. You got to call him Brian or Sword Brethren. Can't call him Sword Manzer. You can't go ahead and post any of his personal information. You got to do this, you got to do that. Well, folks, Stanover and Nimbusters has had a Stockholm syndrome experience to where his own hoster says, you can post all hyperlinks to Brian Rio pictures you want. Let Brian Rio go after trying to take all these pictures, and some of them he can't take down because they say Zookwood.com on the corner. And these overseas hosters say, well, first of all, we don't listen to DMCA. And second of all, this is Zookwood.com, dumb shit. Are you Zookwood.com? No, you're not. It doesn't say Brian at Zookwood.com, so fuck off. And essentially, Brian Rio has lost. He's lost the propaganda war. Now, folks, I wasn't able to go ahead and really listen to it because he was calling Brian Rio, and it was, essentially what I had is I didn't call, use a cell phone to get a better reception. Since I had two computers, Toshiba number one, Toshiba number two, both recording the stuff here, and I was going ahead and bringing up compact number one to sort of pay attention to Eli or James's show. So here I was, busy as hell, talking to someone on Skype on Toshiba number two. Now, essentially, as I looked at it, I'd listen to the Brian Rio show later. Let Brian Rio tell all the lies he wanted to. Well, going on, I found out that some people said that this Peter Goodman was an Eastern Jew. And he says, well, no, I'm not an Eastern Jew. He went ahead and told on about how he would go ahead and make a porn shoot with crack whores. And then he went ahead and said his name was Peter Goodman. Well, I have to apologize to one of the effers. See, there's a number of people that me and my friend go ahead and talk to. One's Russ Walker, and sometimes we call him Russifer because You know, if you end up having an I for a number, it means that, yes, you're an Aryan, yes, you're a white man, yes, you're a Christian Israelite, but you're not really a hard-driven man. And therefore, you don't have a relentless character like me or Pastor John Britton does. So I was talking to an affer. You know, it's from Jennifer. I think Pastor John Britton in his younger days had a very good little hump, had a very good little hump named Jennifer. And essentially, she was quite willing to go ahead and do about everything within reason. You know, she had her own little clinging ways. So we call a sort of character sometimes Uffer, and he started out with Russ Walker calling him Russifer, because Russifer will not admit that Eli James is a Jew, although I did get him to admit that he wasn't an Israelite. And essentially, go ahead, talk.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we all have been one hell of a time trying to understand you. And I kind of like to ask from the chat room, do I have the same problem, or is this something that you're dealing with?
The thing about it is I'm hearing the same thing. What I'm going to do is let me go ahead and call. Let me go ahead and call that using my speakerphone, and I'll go ahead and
call ID followed by the pound key. You are now joining the call.
Okay, I see Pastor Winstead. Let me go ahead and put down. Okay, can you hear me better? Can you hear me better? Hello? Can you hear me better?
Much better, Pastor.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and use the cell phone, but eventually I'm going to run out of minutes on the other phone, and we'll go ahead and see. Do you have anything to say Northwest tonight?
No, you could go ahead and mute me permanently. I just wanted to butt in and tell you there was a severe audio problem.
Well, it comes with this stupid phone, and folks, if I had to do it over again, I would not use my PIN number as my phone number, because I'm pretty well, as Pastor Lynn said, and the problem of it is that I can't log on as Pastor Lynn because I've been kicked off my Brian Real, and I can't use Roxy's phone because, well, ditto on that. So what I'm going to end up having to do is possibly find someone, be it you or someone else here, to be Dick Weltney and to just go ahead and do the housekeeping chores here. I mean, Finkelschini has Brian, used to have Brian Rio do it, and now he has Matt Twatzogbot do it. You know what I mean? He goes ahead and gives the password and the account number to Confederate, and he goes ahead and handles it, just like Tom Metzger did with his son here. So, anyway, we have about probably 20 minutes left here, so I'll just go ahead and go on with what's going on, on the movement. Okay, going on with it, I found out that he ended up calling Brian Real. And he introduced himself as Peter Goodman. And I found out this later, listening on to the show. I downloaded as soon as possible, because Brian Real has a history of always, going ahead, and if he doesn't like the results of the interview, he goes ahead and complains and whines and pisses and moans and has it taken down like he did number 46 over on TalkShoe. And so I downloaded as soon as possible, and then I went ahead and found out this guy and character was, this character I think is definitely a Jew. But what he did is I asked just pretty well the question, the shibboleth. And like I pointed out, people say, well, what's a shibboleth? And what it means is it means an outmoded, silly saying. But back when the question first came up in Judges chapter 12, it involved a life and death pronunciation. You see, these Ephraimites, they had gone ahead and been all pissy because they didn't get a chance to go ahead and fight against this tribe, I believe, of Amalekites, that Jephthah had gone ahead and fought himself. And so they started some of the stupid movement bullshit, and essentially they got thrashed, and then they had to cross the Jordan in order to get across to their home in Ephraim. So what Jephthah did is that he made all these travelers say Shibboleth. And the Ephraimites could only say Sibboleth, Sibboleth. So, essentially, they would detect the Ephraimites trying to go ahead and get home after causing this shit. And as a result, within a day or so, they killed 42,000 Ephraimites. You see, back then, they didn't fuck around. In any case, so what's the shibboleth? The shibboleth, for a Jew or a Mamzer, pretending to be in the movement, is Brian real, white, or not? I made Joe, Pennsylvania, say, is Brian real, white, or not? And essentially, Joe, it was sort of like force-feeding his own shit to Joe. But essentially, I told him, Joe, if you say, if you possibly say that Brian Real is white, I'm going to think you're a Mamzer yourself. And this Peter Good Mamzer couldn't say that Brian Real was white or not. He had to come up with this stupid crap, and Brian Real told a number of lies, like, when I had this fight with the Granby City Council critter, I did indeed call him a moral leper. I did not call him a child molester. But Brian Real, he sneaks that in. He sneaked in a whole bunch of lies. And does it really matter to me? And the answer is no. I didn't want to go ahead and call up Brian Real. I just wanted Brian Real to go ahead and lie and lie and lie and lie. And that's exactly what he did. And I've had a chance to go ahead and listen to the entire show. But here's this Peter Goodman, or as I call him, Peterless Goodmanzer. He cannot say what he will not or cannot say that Brian Real isn't white. Why is the answer? Because he's a Jew himself. He wants these Mamzers to be in Christian identity, spying on them. Eli James's downfall, at least within Christian identity on Halloween, last Halloween, was demanding that I was a slanderer because I had to wait for Brian Real's DNA test and Eli James' DNA test. No, I don't. No, I do not. I don't have to wait for any of that. I mean, essentially, Brian Real is a Mamzer. That's all there is to it. So, what is the end result? The end result of all this is that, essentially, if you insist that Brian Real might be white, when you can go ahead and see either a blubber-lipped nigger or a slant-eyed gook, folks, Brian Real is, he's a number of things. Sometimes he looks like Nick, sometimes he looks like Gook, sometimes he looks like a beaner. But he never looks white. Never, ever. And the whole thing with this Brian Real was simply finding out his name and finding out a picture of him from Facebook or Zuqua. There's no stalking involved. And how did I find it out? Well, I found out from this cane, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, or at least John Britton did, and then John Britton told me. And we looked for about 10, 15, 20 minutes before we figured out it wasn't a Turkish faggot dating site. It actually used to be a gaming site that Brian Real put in a year or so after he graduated from Mentor, Ohio High School. So, folks, this was not, I mean, essentially, a little Jew boy went ahead and snuck his way in. Oh, by the way, the little Jew boy took down Beer Barrel. Jew boy took down Beer Barrel today. He was gone. I thought Host Gators fucked him up, but it wasn't. Cain had gone ahead and gotten a weak password from one of the admins and gotten in. And these people did not keep a backup, except since May. So I back up whitenationalist.org/forum every day. Every day. I make a total backup once a week. Well, I used to. I mean, shoot, the only thing that really has anything new to it is the, is the forum, and I don't really need to make a backup flat file. But yeah, I make a backup of the forum every day. And then on the secret forum, I make a backup of it every week. I'm not worried because nobody knows what the secret forum is. And I have these people all paid up, so hey, there's no complaints, so therefore, it's going to go ahead and stay up at least once a week. But folks, this Cain, he's a little fucked up homosexual little Jew. His grandmother didn't go ahead and give him any Peter stuff in here. Now, the biggest news I think in the movement is that the nigger faggot who killed Dickie Barrett was sentenced for 65 years prison in Mississippi for killing the Zogbot, for killing old Dickie. And people say, why did Dickie hire this sort of character? Answer, because, hey, he ran out of people like Brian Rio and normal skinheads to buttfuck anymore. So, hey, he had to go ahead and settle for local nigger prison faggots. And the nigger killed him sometime last April. First Kurt Maynard went ahead and shot his, beaner bitch wife. And her beaner, bitch's boyfriend. And, a stepdaughter or two. And essentially, according to, support, he went ahead and killed himself. Although I don't believe it. I believe the pigs killed him. But one day, old Kurt Maynard, the miscegenator, was killed. And the next day... old Dickie Barrett was killed by a nigger faggot. And folks, I got kicked off the forum thanks to Thebes. One of my little sock puppets, Ben Cameron, got kicked off. And Julian Lee, one of Covington's, supporters, and Kevin O'Keefe, a.k.a. Kevin O'Keefe, a.k.a. Jake Featherstone, kicked me off, because I went ahead and said something mean about Julian Lee. And he has, his first fucking mayonnaise refrigerator. And so you have a bunch of weirdos and perverts in this moment. Idiots. No shortage of them.
I hate to butt in, Pastor, but I think the problem we're having here, this continued audio quality,
yeah,
is that the volume on your speakerphone is turned way down.
Okay, let me go ahead and see. Let's see what I can do here. Shoot, I got it messed up here. Can you hear me now? Pretty good?
Still an echo,
huh? Dang, what I did. Well, let me just... Well, okay, the beer bell isn't down because they brought it back up. Okay? And, okay. So, I don't know how much longer I'll go ahead and have. Let me go ahead and move the phone out a little bit, okay? Does that sound better? Huh? Okay. Anyway, I'll put it at arm's length here. I got my MP3 running right now. Now, folks, Bill Barrel isn't down. They had their resident genius go ahead and put it up first from the February one. And I've told APOC to simply, once you got all this old stuff down, Jay Bird was the one who went ahead and removed it all. I told them to just simply go ahead and put the DSCI forum on a secret members only panel. Liability Clueless is essentially playing this little game of threatening people. And today, I went and got on this Alan Truex Aryan Nations, and you had Morris Gallet on there. And Morris Gallet, I just pretty well just made fun of the hell of Morris Gallet. Morris Gallet's idea of Aryan Nations activity is to get a whole bunch of young Hoygers in uniform and get them all in uniform and do a rally. And in that rally, let the pigs find out who all these young people are. And I said, shoot, Gallet, everybody knows you're a damn snitch. How come it is that Alan Truett, who a couple months ago was on Eli James' show and was on this, you know, this morning on Eli James' show, why are you hanging out with a Jew? And how come this guy, who supposedly was a criminal 4 or 5 months ago, how come you can't see, how come you cannot hear, you cannot see his prison record in Missouri, Illinois, or on the federal system? Answer, I smell a Dave Hall coming. Another Dave Hall moment. And Gallet had a fit. He ended up calling me a child molester quite a few times, threatened real tough to beat my ass. Look, Gallet, you're only 5'5". I mean, every time you've gone ahead and engaged in a fight with any man, you've got your ass whipped. Anytime you've engaged in a fight with a nigger, you've got your ass whipped. About the only people you've been able to go ahead and beat up is your wife, you know, who was married by, you know, Newman Britton. And that was the last straw, which ended up getting your ass booted from the Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern. You're not an Aryan Nations pastor. So, oh, he just had a fit. And I'll go ahead and put that chat up there. But, folks, I've heard on NimBusters saying that I'm threatening Jim Wickstrom or threatening anybody, folks. I do not threaten anybody. Yeah, I know it sucks here, and I should not have gone ahead and used the speakerphone. In any case, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and talk for until the phone dies, the speakerphone dies. Well, here, hold on, folks. But what you have in this moment are a bunch of clowns. And, folks, I do not advocate any violence against these clowns. What I advocate is that you don't be caught among them, that you don't go to jail. Is there any reason for anybody to go ahead and follow someone, you know, for example, like Gallet? John Britton was annoyed at him when he called me in January when I got transferred to the Nut House and was able to go ahead and call him. He was annoyed at Gallet because Gallet refused to take the American Institute of Theology from Kingdom Identity Ministries correspondence course and actually learn what the hell he was supposed to be preaching about. Gallet refused. He had plenty of time because he'd taken a plea bargain. And folks, I have a problem with Gallet. I mean, the secret we went ahead and kept is no longer a secret. Is Gallet went ahead and got himself and a 23-year-old kid named Charles Scott Thornton, or, you know, Charles Thornton, sent to prison for a bank robbery, you know, in Alabama, and it wasn't over paying money or saving the Church of the Sons of Yahweh. It was altogether over getting Morris Gallet some Bolivian nose candy, because Morris Gallet was a drunken crackhead. That is why, the good reason why, he got kicked out of the Aryan Nations. Now, the problem with Ray Redfern is that, you know, shoot, he was somewhat of a cokehead himself, too. And there's a lot of people who believe he died at the age of 53 from either poison coke or an overdose of coke. He's 53. He's the same age I was. A healthy-looking man, although some people said he was nuts and violent, and, you know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't mind the violence. But I do mind that you cannot really get any mileage from cokeheads. I mean, Harold Covington won't even allow drunkards here as a result of Trader Glenn Miller's horseshit. and among other reasons. There's a, you don't get mileage out of drunks and cokeheads, and I mean, essentially, when criminals get in trouble. Well, okay, I'm hearing the sort of feedback, but you don't get mileage from these critters. Oh, it looks like Dolph. And that is why, let me go ahead, and I am going to mute the volume. Okay, folks, I'm just going to go ahead and talk. Oh, shoot. I'm not even recording now, but you guys can hear me, correct? Well, sound is much better now because, hey, I'm recording. What I should have done is saved myself 31 minutes, and I should have just simply got on as Pastor Linstead, got unmuted. Don't bother to freaking record because I'm recording at MP3 right now. Okay? So we got a chat room, and I just figured out a way to get around not recording here. I can go ahead and record on my MP3 player. And you guys can hear me, okay? Alrighty, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and talk just like the old days here for a while, okay? In any case, speaking of which, I better plug in the cell phone then. You know, going beep, 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 beep. Anyway, let's see. I can pull a Gene Scott on myself now. Anyway, let's see. Let me get that thing plugged in. Well, folks, I just figured out a way to go ahead and do it here. Anyway, yeah, the audio was great because what I did is I went to my computer and reduced the sound to 15. Well, now it's 5 here, okay? Well, the thing about it is that Covington claims to met his wife and him. He says that McFag, Steve Elder, are harmless eccentrics. Folks, McFag is not a, quote, harmless eccentric. I mean, he's Persian Jew or something like that, but be that as his may here, what he does do is that he will go ahead and censor any new, or try his best to go ahead and censor any newbie who comes in. And he will try to go ahead and have his way. And the problem of it is that he will whine like a pussy to Eli James, or to Harold Covington, or anybody else, about anybody who doesn't dare agree with him. For example, when I went ahead and found out who Steve Elder was, or McFag was, you end up having another clown from Missouri named Elijah something or another who wouldn't even give his face on Facebook. His real name is, you know, what he really looks like. And essentially, he knew all about me, and he didn't like me one bit. No, we need to go ahead and whine to Covington. And Covington came up, I have a whole bunch of people whining about going ahead. Can't you just ignore them? And what ended up happening is that I think the thread ended up getting deleted. Now, folks, if you want to have traction, you need to have an ability to bring in a whole bunch of people. You really do. But what you do is that you maintain a difference between your main line, bring them all in, regardless of who they are, as in Facebook. You want to go ahead and have a web page, you want to have a podcast, and bring them all in as in Facebook. Well, at the same time, once you do got them in, you go ahead and you have a newsletter. Covington has a newsletter, and he went ahead and was flogging it on his on his blog. You have broadcasting, and you have narrowcasting. And the broadcasting is to bring about everybody in, obviously, not niggers or Jews or gooks or what have you. Bring in all white people. Well, folks, once you go, we'll go ahead and have them in, you need to make sure that your quality newbies that you have gone ahead and are prime rib are not screwed by critters like McFag. I mean, I've talked this over with other people, and essentially they don't think Harold Covington is going to get 1,000 people or 500 or even 100 or even 50 or even 25 because he has all critters like McFag, essentially who are just whiny pussies who need a lot of dick-holding, and he's going to go ahead and foolishly support them over the people he really does need. And I've seen one newbie, you know, go ahead and come in and essentially be censored because, hey, he said something about how Brian Rio doesn't look white to him either. And, no, that stupid shit, you know, that stupid shit continues. I mean, about a month and a half ago, a number of things came in, and Harold Covington was moaning to an older looking, fairly looking, called caring friend, why don't you have some people moderate? No, it gets even worse because then they go ahead and bitch to me about what the moderators did. And folks, having someone like Steve Elder McFag as a moderator, hell, you might as well just go ahead and give Eli James or Brian Real the keys to the freaking city. Might as well just open the gate to the Jews and the Moors here, like 712 Cordoba. And then wonder, how come all the Christian Visigoths are being slaughtered here, not the Jews let the Visigoths in? Folks, you don't want to have McFag be your boss, okay? Anyway, I've gone ahead and somewhat heard that what he's going to do is he's going to hold off from working on installment number 3 of 5. Stop at about, you know, 2, and he's going to go ahead and just publish as volume 1 because it's already, what, 200,000 words or something like that here? It's already a pretty big size thing. And, folks, just like most of the Christian Identity community, I've seen bits and pieces of it. And, folks, I'm not going to like it. I'm going to like it better than Hill of the Ravens, but I'm not going to like it as good as a Distant Thunder. A Mighty Fortress, or I'm not going to like as well as Mighty Fortress, I'm not going to like as well as Brigade. And folks, I think I like Distant Thunder the best, you know, of this quartet here. But, I, you know, the thing about it is I sort of view this, you know, what I've already seen about how the Northwest Republic runs wild over Zog as a little bit far-fetched. But it's not really far-fetched. I mean, shoot, some white man can beat the shit out of niggers pretty easily here. It's just that, you know, probably the reason I will not like it as much is that by going ahead and saying what the results of the war will be, I mean, essentially it's already running foul of Christian Identity theology, which says that what's going to be is a great tribulation, followed by a great, you know, with a great die-off, followed by Jesus Christ coming in at the last minute, and then setting up the millennium, and then setting it all up here. So, yes, I mean, Covington's book is going to run afoul of Christian Identity theology, and folks, I don't get mad about that, because Covington isn't Christian Identity. And folks, essentially, he's really the only one who has a plan B. You know, it's Chris that day. We do not have a plan B. We already know how it's going to go, and there's no plan B. Great Tribulation, all the, you know, 90% of the Wiggers or more, and all the niggers, Jews, beaters, muds die in the Great Tribulation. Jesus Christ comes back. There is no plan B. You know, there can be no plan B. I mean, if you really believe what you believe, there is no plan B. You believe Jesus Christ is going to do what he says he does in the Bible. So there's no plan B. Now, do I mind Harold Covington having plan B? Well, no. You know, I'm not exactly a big follower of plan B, but on the other hand, I'm not really I'm not really an enemy of Plan B. I don't really, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, just like every one of us here. I mean, me and Pastor John Britton, we were raised as children, you know, in the, you know, in our respective versions of dual seed line Christian Identity. Well, me, I was a one seed line, Bruce Israel from Herbert Armstrong. And folks, we know that you do not try to proselytize people, just like all these little newbies. Oh, this is the greatest thing. Gotta go ahead and bring them in. Bring all your relatives. Bother your relatives. Pester your relatives to essentially choose Christ, which is ludicrous. You do not choose Christ. Christ chooses you. You do not go ahead and treat Yahweh like he's a little puppy dog, like my little puppy dog. And what happens is if I give him a bath here, I reward him for putting him through the bath with a doggy treat. Yahweh is God. Yahweh is Lord. He tells me what to do. And it's up to me to obey it. It's not for me to tell Yahweh what to do. I do not choose Yahweh. Jesus Christ chose me. Yahweh chose me. Jesus Christ chose me. And that is the way things are. And to go ahead and pretend otherwise is sheer solipsism. And you might as well just join the Reverend Mongoloy Hardy, although he's in, you know, I think he's in prison right now. But you might as well go ahead and join him. I mean, that's one reason me and John Britt like the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, or Hardy Mongoloid. He first was a little supposed creatard, and then when all the real creatards wanted to beat his ass, he decided to become a wordness, wordness only level prophet, and then he decided to become, essentially, worship himself. And folks, I wish that is what most of these wiggers would do, just simply worship yourself. Cut out the middleman. No need for any sky piles. Just worship yourself, because that's what most of you clowns do in the, you know, in the Zog land. You worship yourself. You don't worship Yahweh. Never did worship Yahweh. Have no intention of worshiping Yahweh. So what to do? Oh, what to do? Okay. Well, first of all, when am I going to see Brian Reel? I have to sue him soon. I really do. Essentially, end all the nonsense here. I was looking at my Skype calls. I have a timeline. Now I'm going back to where, really, the complaint shouldn't really be more than 10 pages. And that can be knocked out in a day or so. Just 10 pages. Figure out who I'm going to sue. Say when I believe they did it, or when I believe they collaborated with it. And essentially, the purpose of the lawsuit is to go ahead and get this thing to discovery. Now, if it's like every other lawsuit, it's not going to be settled within less than a year or so. Okay? Essentially, Brian Reel and 101 and Host Monster have violated the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Okay? There's no question they violated it. Okay? That's why my webpage is up, is because Crisis Host and SoftLayer did not violate the DMCA. They just didn't listen to us whining about terms of service. Well, if you don't whine, he calls you a nigger because you look like a nigger. Well, that's just tough shit. You know what I mean? Deal with it. Unless we see a court order piss on you. And that's the way things should have been. Okay? So getting on with that here, I didn't like INTJ because INTJ was a liar. INTJ was a deal breaker. I think INTJ was a Zogbot, okay? Now that I found out a cheap way to use TalkSchew, well, folks, I am not going to really... Hell, I don't need to record it. Using, you know, I mean, I prefer the MP3 player. Much prefer the MP3 player. And folks, what I'm going to do is I am going to probably, you know, Frankenwigger didn't let the, you know, let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to go ahead and have a genuine dual seed line Christian Identity sermon with hymns. with real hymns. And folks, Saturday, I went ahead and recorded quite a few. They were from Dwight Armstrong's hymnal. Let me see, where am I at? Let me go ahead, Dwight Armstrong was Herbert Armstrong's younger brother. Talented, quiet, musically talented younger brother who wrote the vast majority of the hymns used by the Worldwide Church of God. And I found some storage of his hymns, and let me go ahead and look at them. I'll go ahead and do it. And what they have is they have the music in a MIDI player, and they have the lyrics, and I go ahead and sing them, and I'll go ahead and put them up, and we will have an actual dual seed line Christian Identity Church. Not Herbert Church, but an actual dual one. There'll be a hymn or two at the very start. Then there'll be a sermonette. Another hymn.
Mark, are you on the other phone?
Yeah, I'm not on the other phone. Why? Who is it?
You on the house
phone? It doesn't need to be done now? Huh? No, I'm not on the house phone. House phone ran out of minutes. No, the phone card ran out of time. I just went ahead and set it off here. It's out of minutes. Okay. So, let's see. Let's go ahead and get this thing on here. Okay. So, you can go ahead and do it. Alrighty. Anyway, well, yes, he has gone ahead and he has removed me from the internet. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, guest number 9, you are somewhat correct. But let me go ahead and have a converse opinion. Okay? All these people are whining, Brian Rio's whining, I've threatened violence against Brian Rio, and they were yapping other shit, even Wickstrom of all people. And the answer is, folks, Brian Rio is my Judas Mamzer. What happens is that you find out soon enough what side these people are on, don't you? All you have to do is find out what side they are as to whether or not, hey, is Brian real white? That's what this guy went ahead. I mean, I didn't even hear that his name was Peter Goodman because I was able to hear it. But I essentially said that he was of the children of Satan because he loves a lie more than he loves any truth. And that's exactly what it is. You see, the Jews and the Mamzers and the non-whites and the Zogbot Whiggers support Zog. They support evil. They love evil. They support evil. They don't support good. They don't support what is right. They support doing wrong. So as a result, just like with Trader Glenn Miller, for close to 4 years, I pretend to be his friend. A reporter would go ahead and ask me, Trader Glenn Miller, you're putting my book up on the internet? Well, I can only stand to put up 3 chapters of it because it sucked, and I don't think Trader Glenn Miller wrote it. I think an FBI stooge wrote it to bring back Trader Glenn Miller. Well, folks, I would go ahead and that stooge would say, well, the thing about it is, Glenn Miller, yes, he was part of the White Freedom Party, but what he did is he went ahead and he was a drunkard and a snitch and he spied and he told lies about everybody, even the ones who didn't give him any money. And Fort Smith, and as a result, everybody hates his guts and thinks he's a dirty, stinking, piece of shit rat. So he's not going to get in the movement. And then that reporter would go ahead and write it in, and Trader Glenn Miller said, I don't know where that reporter went ahead and found that stuff out. You know, I know where the reporter found that shit out, and I pretend to be Trey Grandel's friend for 4 years. But folks, right now, you are hearing, over on Four Fags Feeds, you are hearing Hatting the Meerkat. Hatting the Meerkat has two occupations. His main one is going against Covington. Why? Nobody gives a shit about this shit that happened in the 1990s. And folks, I don't believe that Harold Covington is just like freaking George Washington. He always tells the freaking truth. Covington has told some whoppers to me and other people. So, part of the one of the main reasons, even if I didn't like Harold Covington's plans, the reason I support Harold Covington is for a lot of reasons, is I hate Trader Glenn Miller a lot more. I hate Wigger School. I hate Ron Doggett. I mean, part of the reason I don't mind Harold Covington is that, hey, I do not want to go ahead and be on Wiggerswills and Trader Glenn Miller's side. That's part of the reason, too. But, folks, Trader Glenn Miller is not really a danger. I mean, if you go ahead and tell Trader Glenn Miller something, you go to prison as a result of his bullshit testimony. It ain't because you didn't know that, you know, he was just a drunken Anglo Caesar rat who will spit you out for nothing. You have to go ahead and you want to go ahead and die in order to be taken in by Trader Glenn Miller. But on the other hand, Wiggerswill licks Trader Glenn Miller's ass. Ron Doggett of David Duke, you know, bunch here, licks Trader Glenn Miller's ass. And the same thing with Ron Real. If all I have to do is ask someone, is Brian Real white or not, and they cannot answer it, I know exactly what side they're on. What they are. Brian Real is my Judas Mamzer. He's my Judas Mamzer. My Judas Scope Mamzer. Same with Eli James. I mean, I seen Alan Truitt running around going ass to mouth with Eli James this morning. Folks, this is not normal behavior because, well, it used to be that Bradley Jenkins and August Christ wanted to beat the shit out of serial polygamous Mamzer Dan Johns, Eli James' big buddy, big Mamzer buddy. And Eli James, for all his faults of being a dirty, lying, stinking Jew, Zogbot, and, you know, he's not really a traitor. He's not a, you know, Eli James is not a traitor. Eli James is doing what he can to save the Sephardic Jews. There are some things, you know, if you sort of understand, I mean, Eli James is about as close to a noble, dirty Jew as you can get. I don't blame Eli James for acting the way he does, you know, going ahead and whining to the FBI, going ahead and going ass to mouth and trying to save Brian Real. But folks, it was Brian Real which went ahead and activated Eli James to essentially going ahead and say, well, you cannot look at Brian Real. You got to wait for a DNA test. DNA, you know, Brian Real. In order to go ahead and say Brian Real, he's my Judas Mamzer. And folks, was any of the underground dual seedline Christian identity true believers, were any of them out? Were any of them out being saved? Being saved if Christ had called them? Or were any of them out because Brian Real pretty well kicked me off the internet? No. All it did was just simply tell everybody that Pastor Winstead is a legitimate thing here. I mean, Eli James had to go ahead and take down after, what, less than, what, 3 weeks, his wife, that was an ADL SPLC, you know, snitch, because shit, that was an ADL SPL snitch. Well, you would think that my webpage would be kept up. If the Secret Service was coming to investigate me based upon the lies of Eli James, because they're coming up with, oh, you got to shoot the nigger president. And then I tell him, well, fuck no. I sort of like the nigger president. I mean, shit, that stupid nigger has done far more for, quote, white nationalism and to piss off all the wiggers who lost their job than anything else here. I mean, can you imagine if McCain, that worthless piece, even worthless, more worthless piece of shit, had been president, or that bitch Hillary? No! It looks good to have a fucking nigger as a figurehead being run by the Jews in order so that, hey, they'll blame the fucking niggers. You end up having Hunter Wallace going ahead with Black Red America. By the way, old Huntair or Cuntair has gone ahead and reinvented himself. Now he's a Breivik fan. I'll go ahead and get into that a little bit later if I'm reminded. But folks, Brian Real has been really the best thing to reveal the above ground so-called Christian Identity Church, because shit, ain't it fucking ridiculous to have it being run by a nigger or a gook or whatever the hell that critter is? I mean, it's just all sorts of, you know, ill-bred, miscegenated critters. And so, yesterday night, I was able to go ahead and figure out this character was not on my side. He was going ass to mouth with Brian Real. Continually. There just was no ending this sort of thing here at all. Oh boy, I went ahead and neglected Toshiba number 2, and it went ahead and shut off on me. I need to set that thing to where it lasts longer. In any case, getting on with it here. You have all sorts of critters. All sorts of quitters. And bitching about a Jew acting like a Jew and a Mamzer acting like a Mamzer, and then going ahead and revealing your secret Jews, your secret Mamzers, your secret criminals. Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing at all? And the answer is no, it's not a bad thing. Hello. So, let's see. Okay, I went ahead and lost, thanks. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and cease recording for about 5 minutes. And I'll go ahead and be back, because I'm gonna go ahead and leave the cell phone on, okay? Folks, I've gone ahead and found out a cheap way to go ahead and, you know, do it on that here, okay? Blow the horn, let Zion hear, for God's day is now at hand. Let the people tremble in this day of clouds and gloominess. Troops so great and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. Fire before them shall devour, flames ablaze are left behind. Such as Eden was shall become a wilderness that's desolate. Like the noise of chariots, and as horsemen do they run. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. People are faint at their sight, for they run like mighty men. Moving each on his own way, they do not tangle in their paths. Each to follow his own line, climbing walls like men of war. Then they charge as warriors and advance like fighters on their way. They upon the city leap, break through weapons each unharmed, run upon the walls and climb in houses, through the windows leap. Earth is quaking as they come, heaven shakes, stars cease to shine. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black. Now the only agreement. Okay, we're back for the second main segment of the Movement Turd. What I found out is I went ahead and wasted the last minutes on my phone card. And since I should have just gone ahead and just logged in, and folks, I figured out that I do not need at all. Can you guys hear me? I figured out that I do not at all need to record the show on TalkStew. The purpose of TalkStew is to go ahead and have a chat room, not to go ahead and actually create something on TalkStew when the MP3 has so much better audio. Not at all. In fact, this has gone ahead and given me a little idea of what I can do is, folks, there's not only the Library of Congress, I can go ahead and download, probably number 46 to some TalkStew places, and then folks, just simply send those in the know to go ahead and download it for their own private enjoyment, okay? What do you need? Folks, another intermission. All right, folks, back. In any case, Real is just one of the many turds in the punch bowl. And getting on with it, INTJ was running around whining all about how I need to go ahead and do this and I need to do that. And I don't have credibility unless I do what he wants me to do. And he cannot even keep his agreements, cannot even keep what he said he would do. Won't go ahead and settle for the agreement, which was essentially he pays for the first month free and then I pay for the rest of it. And I am not obligated to do what the hell he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. I think the character is altogether a Zogbot. Now, am I worried about Zogbots? The answer is no. Okay? So, let me see. Okay. Oh, Thomas Robb is a Klansman here, so-called single seed line, who, what he does is that essentially he lives off his little Klan movement here. He plays his little game. He has his own little niche in Arkansas, Harrison, Arkansas. The people who actually know him, a lot of them do not much care for him. In any case, folks, if you actually want a close to Christian Identity show, I would say Arthur Murray is the one that's left now that Pete Peters is dead. Pete Peters was pretty well the most dual seed line, sort of like, of the single seed liners. Arthur Murray is more the most one seed line like of the dual seed liners. Well, folks, I'm going to go ahead and use this bunch of hymns to create a Christian Identity service which will be relevant, which will be timely, and I'll try to go ahead and have it up on Saturdays, and it will be an hour of great tribulation. I'll try to make it about an hour long to go ahead and have a sermon. Have, you know, essentially have a hymn at the very start, a hymn or two, a hymn in the middle, and a hymn at the end. And it'll be essentially about a 1 hour or so Worldwide Church of God service would have been. Although a Worldwide Church of God service was usually about two hours and 15 minutes long on average. Sometimes as long as 2 hours and 30 minutes. Sometimes as short as 2 hours. It would be on a Saturday. And it would depend on whether you were the Carthage Church or the Springfield Church or the Joplin Church. Because one would have one in the morning at 10 o'clock. And then the devout could go ahead and drive 30 miles east to the Joplin Church and have it in the afternoon. Depending on, you know, well, they rented a nightclub during the 70s in Carthage. And then they found Memorial Hall. And essentially, they end up consolidating both the Joplin and Carthage Church. But yeah, that would usually be a couple, about three hymns, a prayer, a 20 or 25 minute sermonette by a local elder or deacon or preaching elder. Essentially, the very top levels of the local elders would go ahead and make out, you know, would do the sermonette, one of the leading men. Then there would be a hymn. Then there would be announcements. And then there would be the main sermon, which would be about an hour or so in length, an hour and a half or so. And thus you would end up with, when everything was said and done, about an average of a 2 hour and 15 minute sermon or service. And then what happens is that sometimes they do a potluck. And on the days they did a potluck, what they would have is that they would have essentially they'd end up having another 2 hour and 15 minute sermon. And on holy days, you'd definitely end up having a potluck. And then during the Feast of Tabernacles, you'd end up going and meeting, and we usually go up to the Lake of the Ozarks around Osage Beach, Missouri. So, any case, that is pretty well what I'm having planned . Okay, well, it looks like Dick Welty, can you guys even hear me? I need to go ahead and okay, it looks like it's going on here. Well, folks, Von Bluvens, I mean, they were making a big deal about how I went ahead and said that Von Bluvens, I think, is a Jew and a Manzer. They came up by how I said it was, you know, didn't really matter. And the answer, does it really matter? Von Bluvens does not run around snitching on people. He doesn't really claim to be anybody in the movement. The time he got on the Nimbusters, he got on, and about after 5 minutes he whined that it was costing him money, and so he hung up. Now, is this somebody who is a danger to the bowel movement? Answer, no. Now, he's not really no great danger to Zog either. Generally, he's just a figure of fun to the Nimbusters, just like Hal Turner. Folks, I hope Al Turner goes ahead and defeats the bullshit against him. But hey, Al Turner was a lying sack of figure shit. He was a little Zogling. He was used by, you know, and here's Sci-Fi Faber. Sci-Fi Faber essentially got outed by Al Turner. Sci-Fi Faber was a total fucking idiot. playing it being Chris Sandetti. It was a total fruit loop. John Britton refused to have anything at all to do with him. He said, shit, the man's an idiot. He went ahead and pretended that he was going to go ahead and shoot some asshole Jew journalist who was covering the Aryan Nations thing with a 12-gauge shotgun. We had to take the shotgun away from the idiot. I don't know if he'd have done it or not, but we decided it was the best part of policy to go ahead and take, you know, a shotgun away from Sci-Fi Faber. Sci-Fi Faber and Jeremy Visser were plotting to go to Eli James to kick me out of, you know, my own church. How the hell is that going to happen? How the hell is that going to happen? My church is a recognized corporation, nonprofit, in Missouri. It's not a 501c3 because I'm not accepting donations, so it's not tax-free. I can say whatever the hell I want to. You don't need to have a 501c3 as long as you're not accepting money or donations, so it's not a matter of tax deductibility. I have a real good deal. You don't send me $25, and I do not go ahead and make you a corporal major or a sergeant general, and nor do I give you a freaking tax credit for your donation, because I don't want your damn donation. Don't need your damn donation. I got enough to live on. And now that it's turned so hot in Missouri, I really am not eating very much here at all, but... You know, I'm trying to go ahead and lose some weight is what I'm trying to do. Essentially, what I mainly drink is, I mainly drink this sweet tea that I go ahead and make here, and it costs about 8 cents for the tea bags and about, 15 cents for the sugar. And if I get this stevia, go ahead and picked and dried. Well, I won't have to go ahead and spend anything on the sugar, and now I'll go ahead and cut a few calories. But, folks, you know, heck, I'm up to 255 pounds. I'd like to go ahead and get down to about, 245 or so. I don't think I'm going to get down to 230 like I was in the Nut House. But, folks, well, good. You troll the crap out of it, Frank and Wigger, okay? Drink the bone water. You mistake me for the pisser possum. But getting on with it, that's what I go ahead and intend to go ahead and do. And folks, I do need to sue Brian Real. And essentially what I need to do is just settle down and write the dang thing up over a day, polish it for a couple hours, and then mail the dang thing. Folks, O'Nigger went ahead and announced a little special deal to where the debt ceiling is going to be raised tomorrow or Tuesday. And I'm not quite sure what the hell it is. I mean, folks, the Republicans should have just hung firm and said, hey, look, nigger, look, Dirty Harry Reid of the Senate, we're the United States House of Representatives. We're the ones who decide how much money is going to be spent, what taxes are going to be raised. And so, guess what? We have given you a shit sandwich to eat, nigger. We have gone ahead and given you a shit sandwich to eat, Senate. And folks, you have a choice. You can go ahead and eat that shit sandwich that we just went ahead and give you, or you can go without. Don't really matter to us. Folks, we'll have a child. Children did not get to decide what was going to be fed. Essentially, we would eat what we were fed. There was always enough for us to eat. Not so much that we'd go ahead and get fat. Essentially, we were healthy children who, well, essentially had to eat what our parents would fix us. And if any of us had ever yapped, I mean, I tried it a couple times, whining about what we had to eat. And guess what? The response was all the same. I'm not cooking anything else. You can eat it, or you can refuse to eat it. There was none of this, put your little nose in the corner, Basically, well, there was another stupid shit about put your little nose in the corner, stand in the corner. And there was another shit about, I'm going, you know, we're going to beat your ass if you don't eat this stuff that we just fixed. Essentially, it was a question of eat it or don't. We scarcely think, you know, I knew better than try a hunger strike. I mean, I liked going ahead and eating whatever the hell we had. And essentially, I grew so much to like it, although some stuff I did not like, and as a result, I didn't eat as much here. So I like puppy dog. Well, actually bought some dog chow. It was on sale, and puppy dog didn't like eating as much of it. So she went ahead and gave it away to Cousin Wayne. I said not to do that because puppy dog doesn't need to eat a whole awful lot during the summer, and they, you know, I don't see a single rib on him. If the little bastard doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't have to eat it. He'll eat it when he gets hungry enough. And since he's hungry enough, he'll go ahead and without any demur, lick the plates and, you know, the skillets like he ought to. You know, he's not getting anything better. So anyway, that's what, you know, essentially that's what the, you know, John Bonnier should have gone ahead and done. So, hey, look, nigger, we're the ones who rule. You can either eat the shit sandwich or not. We don't care. But we did go ahead and present a bill for spending. A bill to raise the debt ceiling. And it's not up to the Senate, and it's certainly not up to you, niggers, to tell us anything different, because we did what we were sent to do. And guess what, Senate? You did not present for the last 2 years any spending proposals at all. Instead, you decided to whine like a pussy about how the House wasn't going to end giving you enough money to waste. Now, far from going ahead and demanding a balanced budget, essentially by going ahead and refusing to raise the debt ceiling, rather than go ahead and come up with this horseshit about demanding that both houses of Congress pass a balanced budget amendment, and that, what, two-thirds or three-quarters of the state ratify it, essentially simply by not going ahead and raising the debt ceiling, what you have done is that you have gone ahead and taken you a balanced budget amendment. You don't need a balanced budget amendment to balance the budget. All you need to do is not go ahead and pass a debt increase. But from what I gather, the Republicans pussied out. They pussied out. They shouldn't have, but they did. And the debt will be downgraded because everybody who would think about loaning money will figure out that Zog is not serious about balancing his budget or paying off its debts. Folks, when you have a $2.7 trillion spending, of which $1.7 trillion of it is deficit, how long is that going to go ahead and last? How long is that going to last? It ain't going to last very long. Ain't going to last very long at all. So getting on with it, where was I? As a result, this didn't go ahead and pass here. I'm going to go ahead and go on with what's going on is that, let me go over to Dickie Barrett, and let's go on to the Edgar Steele thing. Now, April Gatty has sort of shit on Edgar Steele. And let me go ahead and look at the thread. Let me go ahead and post the thread. It's the last one on Edgar Steele. And you have had him, the meerkat. After his love of going ahead and pissing and moaning about what Covington did or didn't do in the 1990s. Why are you speaking again? I'm speaking now, right now. Okay? Do you guys hear me? Anyway. Getting on with it. Okay. Okay, the audio is good. All right, folks, I just found a cheap way to go ahead and talk on TalkStew, okay? Was the Queen of Sheba white? Answer, probably not. Was Haile Selassie, you know, was Brian real white? I mean, what happens is that Haile Selassie didn't look, you know, looked about the same, you know. He looked a little more grayer than Brian Rio does. Brian Rio looks like a brown shit skin. So it was Haile Selassie, the last of the Lion of Judah. You know, the last of the descendants, you know, who were kings of Ethiopia. Was he white? The answer is no. He looked like a sort of pale skin, you know, high yellow nigger is what he looked like. So, I mean, folks, did Solomon really give a crap about who he was porking? If he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and essentially you knew he didn't screw all of them every single day, do you think old Solomon was too serious about who he was porking? I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure Solomon had a few favorites he liked porking about every couple days. Until he got tired of them. And then, hey, you know, we never even seen them again after that. Okay? Well, so I went ahead and answered guest number 8. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. I was going to go ahead with Edgar Steele. And, folks, I'm probably going to go ahead and take another break here in a little bit. Where am I at? Where am I? Okay, here I am. Paste. Folks, I'm hoping that old Dick Weltney is able to go ahead and be seen. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and get on with it. You've had Edgar Pauley claim that Edgar Steele was guilty but insane. You've had Hadding, the meerkat, claim that Edgar Steele was guilty and a liar. Essentially, you've had Pauley, I call him Pauley the parrot because I have him as a sock puppet on my forum, whitenationalist.org/forum. And folks, I encourage you to go ahead and use that here if you're a member. If you wish to become a member, go ahead and send me an email at pastorlinsted@gmail.com. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and take over an account, a spammer account. Keep the same old spammer IP address because I don't need to know your IP address. Send you a password, your choice. You can choose a password. I'll just go ahead and you ask what your username wants to be, what you want your username to be, and what you want your password to be, and I'll go ahead and send it. I'll go ahead and let you join my forum by invitation. Okay? No problem. No problem. All right? WhiteNationalist.org/forum. Okay? But getting on with it, Edgar Steele, I believe, is innocent. I believe that it was altogether a lie. I don't believe Edgar Steele plotted to kill his wife. I believe Zog set him up, like Zog likes to do. But you have Hadding and you have Edgar Pauley going ahead and coming up with this shit here. So getting on with it. You have old April, 3 days ago, message number 2045 of that link I just went ahead and posted, on the Edgar Steele charge of murder for hire plot, page 103, post number 2045, on VNNF, also known as the Trader Glenn Miller News Network Forum, or the Greater, you know, the Greater Free Range Card Corral News Network Forum. And you have this character called Heather Blue, says, Don, what's the purpose of the stuff by Edgar Steele? what people do in their personal lives is no business of ours. Personally, I do not believe you would kill the mother of children. Divorce is easier than murder. If anyone kills or tries to murder an individual or two, he will be forever dogged by suspicion, feelings of guilt, loss of respect. Ed Steele is not a stupid man. He is a white man who stuck his neck out for a white group, has been the Jews' crossbars ever since. If it was not for that, I might believe you, but the whole business stinks of a railroad job. It is just too coincidental that the ADL has him on their hit list, and suddenly he's in prison over some murder plot. Don't believe it, so why don't you stop spearing the man? And that's what this Heather Blue asked of Donald Pauly. Didn't even bother asking of Hanning. Hanning's just an ass clown who Linder went ahead and brought back about a, you know, less than a week after Edgar Steele got railroaded by a jury of Whiggers from Idaho. Folks, you don't want to, if you have anything to do with Aryan Nations, you do not want to go ahead and set the thing up in Idaho. I tried to help Edgar Steele by saying Edgar Steele's not an Aryan Nations member. He's not a Christian identity believer. All he did was, you know, be a rather piss poor lawyer who was all that Butler could go ahead and find because he wanted to make a name for himself. He's not Aryan Nations. He doesn't believe in Aryan Nations. In fact, he's whined like a pussy that he doesn't believe in Aryan Nations material. And I've chewed on his ass a few times about that. But folks, I went ahead and said, hey, he's not Aryan Nations. He never was. But still, a bunch of Whiggers got together and decided to railroad Edgar Steele. But here comes April. And he goes ahead and quotes this thing by Heather. Ed Steele's not a stupid man. And then April says, exactly. I know he's not stupid enough to send letters like this to a, quote, fake girlfriend while he's in jail and facing a trial for the murder of his wife. That makes me pretty certain he had to be under the influence of something pretty heavy to put him out of his gourd enough to write that letter, knowing that everything he set out would be scrutinized and used against him. The argument he was still trying to run his, quote, vice scan investigation just is not enough of an excuse for me. Donald is not smearing yet. He is simply trying to show everyone concerned why this happened and giving the only reasonable defense for our friend Ed. Folks, I was locked up with a bunch of maniacs. And folks, it is very difficult to say, to take a not guilty by reason of insanity unless both parties, both the defense, but most importantly the prosecution, is in on it. Yes, I've seen people who got an NGRI. In many cases what it was a deranged swigger who got on some bad dope, like this one from Sarcoxy, who went ahead and blew off the head of a Baptist minister while he was doped up on meth. Essentially, yeah, he ended up getting an NGRI. He was not competent to stand trial. So they sent him up there, and essentially what boiled down to is he would never be competent to stand trial. So essentially he got away with murder. And I've seen a few people who went ahead and killed their wives. And one short little guy killed his homosexual lover. Little 53-year-old bald little goomer here is less than 5 foot tall, sort of like Robert Reich. Did they want to go ahead and give this guy the needle? No. Did they want to send him in prison for the rest of his life because, well, he got hold of some bad drugs and he used it here and he killed his homosexual lover? No. They let him plead NGRI. Essentially, what boils down to is he'll spend 5 years in the nut house. And then he'll go on to assisted living. And then he'll go on to, well, essentially they're going to keep him doped up. And eventually he'll get conditional release under Fuchsia versus Louisiana. I've seen criminals use that excuse. Fuchsia versus Louisiana. No longer a threat to myself or others. Therefore, I'm not merely being punished. What happens is now I'm healthy. And I told this one criminal, I said, don't go ahead, now that you got to St. Joseph, to minimum security, don't tell them that you were a criminal who simply outsmarted them, because they end up hearing that shit all the time. They're not going to want to go ahead and go along with it. What you had better do is say, "You're right, doctor. You saved my life. I was fucked up in the head, and your wonderful drugs and your, you know, your help here saved my, you know, saved my sanity here and let me go ahead and get on the road. And now I'm no longer a threat to anybody. Turn me loose. Turn me loose." Fuchsia versus Louisiana. Okay? And this guy is following my advice. He, you know, shit, he figured out and said, "Hey, tell you, well, now he's following my advice." Straka said, "Well, I'm not going to let you out if you're going to simply say you're a criminal who outsmarted people. You belong in prison, if that's the case." But on the other hand, I mean, if you were, well, if we've gone ahead and cured you, why, you know, maybe it's time to go ahead and turn you loose. And essentially, this guy who is not, you know, I mean, just because he's a criminal doesn't mean he's stupid. He figured it out. Hey, yes, I was fucked up in the head when I went ahead and rammed into that police cruiser. You know, at the time I was sick and I wanted to go ahead and kill that policeman, but now I'm cured. So that's what, you know, he tried to go ahead and kill a pig. Is what he tried to do. You know, to me, he's no criminal, really. But anyway, you know, that's exactly what the hell he's done here. And now he's on his way out of the system after being locked up for 5 years for trying to kill a pig. He said, "Fuck, I tried to kill that pig here. Pigs ought to be killed." Hell, he'd still be in jail. He'd be in prison. So he was nuts. Well, okay. But folks, it has to work. An insanity decision has to work with both the prosecution and defense, because folks, it's called malingering. It's called malingering. I got sent up there simply because I would accept a lawyer. So after the first 6 months, I knew I was going to go ahead and fail this one because I wasn't docile. After 2.5 years, these people were tired because I would fuck with them. That little dope that they give me, I mean, essentially all these cells versus U.S. decisions were going up to where it's illegal to go ahead and dope somebody up unless you fulfill the four prongs of the cell test here. When I got there, cells was only a year old. U.S. versus cells. Is it permissible to forcibly dope up someone in order to make him competent to stand trial? And essentially, after 18 months, new judge, he tried to go in, force me to have another public pretender. Well, hey, that don't work. That don't work. So when I went in, pretended I would hire a public, a lawyer, a.k.a. a piece of shit named Donald or David Rice of me. This character is a worthless, evil piece of shit. He got $1,700 out of me because he said, "Well, hey, if you leave the state, we'll go ahead and dismiss the charges." And he never did go ahead and pull through. I was willing to go ahead and leave the state here, but essentially, never did go ahead and pull through. So eventually, I insisted on being my own lawyer. All he did was just tell me a lie in order to get $1,700 out of me, the worthless piece of shit. But folks, I got in that house by pretending that I would, no, I'd go ahead and hire my own lawyer. Well, once I got out of the nut house, once they got tired of doping me, there was no reason to keep me at the nut house no more. So then they didn't have no choice but to allow me to be my own attorney. And then once I wanted to be my own attorney, guess what? I want a law library. Oh, by the way, everybody else has a right to a law library, too. They want to ditch their public pretender who's fucking them. So rather than go ahead and hire two more pigs, supposedly, you know, bring me to the law library, and then bring all these other people who are dropping their public pretenders and wanting to go ahead and have their, you know, own law library to defend themselves. Essentially, they allowed me to post a $10,000 cash bond. And then once that happened, well, hey, my slightly retarded grandson who had been abused by the state decided he didn't want to lie against his grandfather. Now, when I hear people like Morse Gillette, go ahead. I mean, shit, as far as I'm concerned, you know, someone like Morse Gillette, I'll be forced to use his own testicles. He's just nothing more than a freaking snitch. But let's get on to this insanity defense. Folks, this is Donald Pauly, full of shit. And insanity defense only works if the prosecutor wants it to work. Edgar Steele is innocent. And, you know, I mean, I think he's innocent. Even, you know, I mean, folks, even if I thought he was freaking guilty. That's why I told Jim Giles. In this resistance, you do not support Zog ever. Zog is always wrong. Zog is always fucking wrong. You do not support Zog ever. And my big blow up with Jim Giles on the 3rd of July of 2010 was because he kept on ragging on Edgar Steele. Snooping and spying, trying to prove Edgar Steele guilty and then lying like a piece of shit. But no, he wasn't. Oh, he was going to go ahead and do it. Him and Hadding and Mona Montgomery, for whatever deranged reason, whatever twisted reason they had, they have to go ahead and support Zog. Folks, if you support Zog in any way, you're a traitor in my book. You do not support Zog. Hell, if you're not with Jesus Christ, you're a traitor in my book. He who is not with Jesus Christ is against Jesus Christ. He's just a wigger or a mamzer. Piss on you. Hope you die in the Great Tribulation. You and the rest of you, you know, you and the rest of your worthless family here. But folks, I have nothing but contempt for people who claim to be in the movement who effectively support Zog. Even if I hated Edgar Steele. And I don't. I don't think he's that good of a lawyer. I think, you know, I mean, I think he had a big head. But folks, even if I thought he was guilty, I would say he's not guilty, and that's why I told people. I said, shit, even if he had a bag of heads, containing his wife's head, his mother-in-law's head, Morse's head, a bunch of nigger heads, and a bunch of Jew heads, and he was arrested not by the FBI, but the chief of police of Sagal, if there is a chief of police of Sagal, I'd say it was a fucking Zog plot. But folks, I actually do believe Edgar Steele was innocent. I really do. I mean, Edgar really, you know, Edgar really, he's just a fucking wigger. I mean, he's not going to plot to kill his old lady. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, I don't believe he did it. But even if I did think he did it, I would never say he did it. I mean, it's like this. It's all a matter of what side you are on. There's no innocence and there's no guilt. There's only sides. And if you side with Zog, you are siding with Satan. And you deserve to die in this great tribulation. And folks, it's even worse if you pretend to be one of us, a white nationalist or Christian identity. That's why I never get mad at Brian Real. That's why I don't get mad at Eli James. Eli James is a Jew. He's acting like a Jew ought to. He's on the side of the Jews. He's just pretending. Now, does that mean that Eli James is scot-free? No, he's a Jew. He's a spawn of Satan. In this great tribulation, all the Jews need to die. What does that tell you? I'll let you go ahead and, you know, draw the line. But, folks, I really cannot find it in my heart to hate Eli James because for being a Jew and acting like a Jew. Even if he's gone ahead and taken down a bunch of my old pages, even if he's gone ahead and, you know, snitched on John Britton. And that's a good reason why I haven't gone ahead and worked on a lawsuit. I wanted the nature of things to go ahead and go out. And folks, I have gone ahead and said that I'm against violence. The reason I'm against violence is that, hey, violence at this time and stage does not work. But on the other hand, if it worked, you know, if the only people who were killed were Zoglings, hell, I'd be altogether in favor of violence here. Just like this New Jersey skinhead Mandalore who asked me, well, is it acceptable during the Great Tribulation what your world orders to go ahead and screw, you know, rape Jewish Israel? I said, well, yeah, but what's not acceptable is when you get done with them, you know, to not knock them over the head and make sure, you know, I mean, you know, make sure they're down for the count perfectly like old A.B. Whitehouse, you know, that guy is kicking their own damn bucket. Great shapes. I mean, why would you want to screw Jesus here? And O'Brien was yapping. You're promoting race mixing. Well, look, you know, look, nigger boy. You're always freaking racially mixed. I mean, I don't listen to nigger boys going ahead and telling a hypothetical about some skinhead who essentially, as long as he takes care, I mean, if he's not worried about the telegony for his own pecker, why should I be worried about it? Go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to. Just don't make sure that there's a mess that somebody else has to clean up, okay? Now, I wouldn't want to be screwing no damn Jewesses. I mean, that's spawn Satan. I believe in male inverse telegamy. I mean, shit, mumps, nuts, liability, clueless is a surefire, case example here of inverse male telegamy here. He's got him some coontang on his hang down, and in his bloodline, and shoot, it's made him even more screwed up than what he was to begin with. But here's April 3 days ago, shitting on Edgar Steele. You respond to Don Pauley. And then, let me go ahead and take the Richard Barrett thread. The Dickie Barrett thread, well, Dickie's nigger faggot lover slash killer gets 65 years Thursday. Okay, let me go ahead and post that so you folks can go ahead and look at it. Oh, Lee Harris, is he the one who did the Hannibal Lecter series? I found that a little bit gross here. That's an interesting book here, you know what I mean? There's interesting movies here. Okay, well, Jim Giles is a federal informant. Jim Giles admitted he's a federal informant. Jim Giles went ahead and sent me a whiny letter. Why are you going to admit that I'm not a federal informant? Well, Jimbo, you said you're a federal informant. Oh, okay, Jim Giles' last show. Oh, he'll probably be back. Who knows? I think the best show, well, that was one of the side points here. I mean, Jim Giles used to be the Dick Cavett of white nationalism. If he'd stuck to that, he'd be okay. He'd be okay. But he's not. But I want to go ahead and get back to that here. This Dickie Barrett threat. Read it real quick here. Richard Barrett's nigger killer pleads guilty. The Negro killer Richard Barrett, of blessed memory, that's fucking faggot. He was a blessed memory. He says, man pleads guilty to killing Mississippi supremacists. And way in Arizona of all places here. Brandon, Massachusetts. The ex-convict pleaded guilty to killing white supremacists in his rural Mississippi home and returning the next day set fire to the crime scene. Vincent McGee had been charged with capital murder after Richard Barrett's body was found beaten, stabbed 16 times and burned on April 2010. But the 23-year-old black man admitted to a lesser charge of manslaughter along with arson and burglary. Prosecutors and McGee disagree on why the outspoken supremacist was killed. And the fact of the matter is, Dickie Barrett was not a white supremacist. He was a little faggot. He was a real faggot lawyer from New Jersey. Same way with old Cousin Ray. Cousin Ray, the Sicilian Guido Jew ambulance chaser from Jersey. I mean, old Barrett was an old faggot. It was an old wigger faggot who essentially pulled a bit and classed on a lot of them here. He went ahead and had a little bunch of skinheads. And he let Brian Real be the editor of his little skinheads thing, and then, I don't know, if old Brian Real didn't provide any mangina or anything like that, it probably was only because little Brian Real from Mentor couldn't go ahead and get down to freaking West Memphis or Pearl, Mississippi. You know what I mean? I bet old Brian Real would have gone ahead and given some mangina and a heartbeat here, looking at a Zuqua page. The only thing he's not a virgin of is woman pussy here. I don't think he's ever had any pussy since pussy Kathy Jean squeezed out him. You know what I mean? Out of a red nigger gash. But the thing about it is that I'm quite sure he likes the sucky sucky here. I mean, he looks like a faggot. Acts like a faggot. Pretty well on his Zuqua.com profile. And folks, once I see the little bastard, why, it'll be fair game. In fact, it's fair game now. I need to go ahead and figure out a way to put it to where a whole bunch of nimbusters can go ahead and see it and then just download the crap of it and put it on their hard drive. I mean, there's some pretty good, you know, even some vile shit with Brian Rio's picture on it. But getting on with it, Dickie Barrett, essentially, was, you know, he's just a little like Benny Butzak Klassen. You know, he was a faggot who used it essentially as a way of going ahead and getting young skinheads to give him some pussy, you know, man pussy. And for some reason, the old faggot ran out of man pussy, and he was running around with prison niggers. This was a prison nigger. He looked like a faggot. Prison nigger, you know, prison nigger faggots look like faggots because they want some more dick. They like sucking and fucking. They deliberately look like they want to suck and fuck because they do want to suck and fuck. And it's not illegal to be a nigger faggot, nigger faggot no more in the prisons. So what happens is old Dickie wanted some, and this guy gave him some. And I think the nigger decided, you know, he acts like he was all upset because Dickie asked him for oral sex here. Folks, you're a young, what, 20-some-year-old nigger? Old Dickie is what, 60-some years old, 70? Old faggot? What happens is that, shoot, you both knew what was going on, and then you decide to go ahead and rob him because you're a stupid nigger. You go ahead and stab him 16 times, run off, decide to go back and hide the fact that the death was caused by a knife blade. So what you do is you set fire to this place, and the neighbors see the smoke. They call the damn cops and fire pigs. And essentially, they go ahead and they see a dead Dickie in a smoldering house where his body hasn't even had time to burn. And then they figure out it's you, nigger. Didn't take very long for the nigger to get arrested. I mean, shoot, this nigger was a criminal genius, sort of like Brian Wright and, you know, Rabbi Finkelshiny. But essentially, he got 65 years in prison, including 20 for manslaughter, 20 for arson, and 25 for burglary. Folks, essentially, they couldn't go ahead and get him on first-degree murder. They decided not to try, so they got a plea bargain. Since when do you get $25 for burglary to run consecutively? So anyway, the nigger says they got 65 years. I don't know when he'll be eligible for parole. But here comes April. Just after she goes ahead and betrays Edgar Steele with old Don Pauly, she says, "Donald, why the fuck, you know, this is post number two, why the fuck are you calling this asshole a blessed memory? He was a total asshole, attacked me, my kids, and David Lane, as well as Pastor Butler, and most of the order. Also, why did the old perv have this nigger working for him anyway?" Well, the old perv had the nigger working for him anyway because he couldn't get any skinhead mangina. And folks, I'm going to be playing the ballad of Brian and Rio, when I put this thing up, okay? Why this pervert had this old nigger working for him? Dickie Barrett took him in spite of his mestizo skin. That's why. So anyway, I have April on my forum saying, "Bad parrot, no pussy." April, why in the world? I mean, I really lose. People lose respect for you when you go ahead and you turn on Edgar Steele, who helped you keep your kids from your ex-husband, your Icelandic, you know, doper husband, and then you go ahead and shit on him with old Don Pauly. And then you go ahead and get all pissed off because Don Pauly doesn't have any decency. He goes ahead and he is against Edgar Steele before this old faggot pervert with Dickie Barrett. Let me tell you about Dickie Barrett and me. Dickie Barrett would go ahead and always advance himself. Oh, Jim Giles hated him because, for my God, Dickie Barrett sued him because Jim Giles called himself a nationalist or something here, waved a Dixie flag or whatever. Totally bogus thing here. Dickie Barrett would abuse his power as a lawyer against a lot of white nationalists. Now, in my case, I found out about Dickie, him being the faggot. And essentially, he was yapping shit about me. And when I was in that house, he called me a child molester. He called me a faggot myself. He shit all over me. When I got out, I went ahead and changed pace and said he's a dirty, no good faggot. He's a lying piece of shit. He's a no good piece of shit lawyer. He's a Zogbot. He's nobody to be trusted. And then Dickie whined like a pussy about it. He's a no-good, lying, two-faced, faggot lawyer who even the fucking niggers, even Medgar Edgar's brother, didn't think old Dickie Bell was a real racist. How's that? For even the niggers don't think you're a real racist, huh? Sort of stupid, ain't it? Sort of fucked up, ain't it? This no-good piece of shit, was just somebody who was set up by the FBI to play white nationalist, to play badass lawyer, and essentially to shit over all the, you know, the other white nationalists. And essentially what he got is he got sinecure, and he got him plenty of skinhead man pussy. And essentially that's all he needed here, and essentially that wasn't enough to where he has to go ahead and get nigger mangina. And that nigger scrags his ass, and I think it was not a moment too soon. If it was up to me, I'd probably let the nigger off here after serving about, so many years. But on the other hand, the nigger probably wouldn't thank me here because shit in the prison, at least he can suck and fuck all it wants to over there, no problem. But 2 days ago, Don Pauly says on number 5, I will really admit that the shirtless pictures of Barrett skinheads on his websites look bad. This snip from the ADL makes me believe there are two sides of the story. The Negro killed and accused him of being queer was hardly a pillar of community. Hell, everybody knew he was a faggot. Somebody else got a Freedom of Information Act on Dickie Barrett. And essentially, he says that on number 6, that the last couple pages were pretty well marked out. Folks, everybody knew he was a Zogbot. But going on, you have this Dave W. Fence saying, Richard Barrett, while his death is tragic, no, it ain't tragic, it's probably long overdue, should have been killed by a nigger fag a long time ago, was never a friend of the white movement. He never would represent anyone other than his own non-existent so-called nationalist group. Furthermore, he voluntarily gave evidence to help send David Duke to prison. Richard Barrett stayed at my house on a number of occasions. I can say he was one strange person. When he came out one time to stay, he had a young man with him, and I said, keep on going. Richard, for no other reason whatever, would badmouth great patriots. I could guess to simply to cause trouble. In the Forsyth County case, it's not exactly true that he beat D's. We, the other co-defendants, wanted him out of the case because his actions were so bizarre. Richard made hundreds of thousands of dollars, I know this from my conversations with him, suing cities for not letting him march while he never could produce any more than 3 or 4 young kids to march with him. You know, those little skinhead faggots. He never gave back to the cause. In closing, I sincerely hate to talk about a person who is deceased, but Richard in life was never a friend of the white racialist cause, at least in my opinion. What happens is even the gut-sick Guido Weasel with G.S. cancer. Dickie Barrett was a lying piece of shit. See, what happens is Linda doesn't like me for what I say about him. I call him a gut-sick Guido Weasel with G.S. cancer. He's going to ask him out to Terry Glenn Miller, accepting his money. And that's right. Linder is simply just a little retard, a little little piece of shit without characters in their little Zogbot. Okay? But Dickie Barrett was a real piece of shit. A real piece of twisted piece of shit. A Zogbot, a faggot, who would go ahead and deliberately do his best to destroy the white nationalist movement. I have nothing good to say about that cocksucker, other than thank God he's dead and he got killed by a nigger faggot. Couldn't have happened to an eviler sort of piece of shit sooner. I'm glad it happened. I really am glad it happened. And I'll let the nigger thank me for wanting it turned loose early, because shit, you know, at least in prison can go ahead and be a nigger faggot. Or wants to be, while having a roof over his head. All it was going to do is get in mischief by killing white people, you know, other white faggots for money. Which is maybe another good reason why it should be turned loose. Probably in San Fags Crisco. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break, see how many people we have left, and then, you know, probably go on for the next portion here. Okay? Yeah, Victory.
Like a poster boys is gonna make you wind up dead. That's what this little beaner faggot Brian Rio's daddy said. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her gayest one, it seems. She sold her snatch for taco meat so you could live your dream. Brian was a beaner boy who liked to take it in the rear, and even broke from Billy Roper realized that it was clear. Dickie Barrett took it in spite of its mestizo skin. After he kicked that beaner out, some nigger did Dickie in. Even folks from skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep him far away from any normal white folks. Eli was playing games, trying to bring that beaner in. He called in late one Halloween. A cyber shit storm soon began. Eli met his match, you know, in a hovel down in Grand Bemo. And on the turd his screech was heard. Now everybody knows. Even those front skinheads say sword mamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep Rio far away from any normal folks. Now Brian ought to give it up, go back to suck a nigger dick. He ought to know the jig is up. We're fed up with that beaner prick. Soon that dirty beaner snitch may end up being Leroy's prison bitch.
and dying in a lonely cell of AIDS before it burns in hell. Even buffoned skinheads say Brian Rio's fucking gay. They ought to keep it far away from any normal white folks. Even buffoned skinheads say Sword Manther's fucking gay. But Dickie Barrett let him slip away out of blindness, I suppose. Okay, folks, the best article I've seen, this is third major section of Movement Dirt, and it's just a few minutes before midnight. The best article I've seen about the Breivik is from one of little cunt hair Wallace's little wigger tards named William Rome, who essentially pointed out that Breivik killed essentially the elite spawn of these race traitor criminals. And Senator Glenn Miller and Linder have gone ahead and got on to it, but this William Rome wrote the best article about it. And folks, why in the world, I mean, actually this Breivik, I mean, he plagiarized quite a bit from the Unabomber and a number of people. But folks, what you end up having in the world is an increase in violence, an increase in terrorism, I guess you could say. The weapon of the weak against the strong. Now, I was a little bit disappointed in Harold Covington's bunch. One of them, there was this, not only Steve Elder, a.k.a. McFag, going ahead, oh, the guy's a Jew, the guy's a Jew, the guy's a Jew. And, folks, he looks like as Aryan a Norwegian as you can see. He looks like a classic Swedish Hallstatter. But there are people say, oh, he got Sammy eyes. He must have some, lap or whatever in him. I think that's bullshit myself. But what he did is that he went to this labor camp of the ruling party, and he went ahead and shot the little wiggers in training, and he went ahead and shot a few little niggers that they loved so well. And I remember seeing a picture of this scared-looking nigger, blue gum nigger, next to a potential mud shark, 14 had been rescued by a boater from the water. And folks, what this character did was essentially tell the elites that they're not safe. They're not safe from either the violence, from a reaction against what is going on. They certainly shouldn't be safe from rioting niggers. I mean, someone who goes ahead and brings in a bunch of these beaners or niggers or left here should be deported to that nigger or beaner's place of origins to go ahead and live as a minority and enjoy the full blessings of diversity. But what you have is wigger traitors. Like I've always gone ahead and said, that we do not have a nigger problem or a beaner problem or even a little old Jew problem. We have a wigger problem. We've always had a wigger problem. So how do we win? And the answer is, there is no winning without Yahweh. Yahweh tells us how this thing is going to be won. This thing's going to be won because there's not only just a corrupt bunch of elites, there's a bunch of corrupt population, a sick, degenerate population which loves mud-sharking, which loves seeing their own brothers and sisters cheated. Just like my brother. He'd rather the fucking government got it than I do. He'd rather fucking probably even a beaner or a nigger got it than I do. Is there any sense to it? No. Any sense to it at all? No. for whatever reason, he wants to go ahead and prevail over his older brother, who essentially is no threat to him. It would be far better if he went ahead and shared half of it with me rather than go ahead and have a lawyer, a Jew lawyer or whatever, get all of it. And then some. But no, I mean, he's greedy and stupid. Just like all these here Whiggers, allowing the Jews in to live off their fellows, and then wondering why, as corrupt elites, they don't have a population that will support them anymore. Folks, my grandchildren were stolen from me on the basis of lies by pigs. I had my teeth broken out by pigs. Essentially, they were out to go ahead and send me a nut house and dope me up while I was eaten by Whiggers. And, folks, you have a lot of evil coming to this world, and the only way to make sure that things get done is that everybody who supports this system dies in it. Now, folks, when Noah was 480 years old, it was a totally world in the Tarim Basin under the first law of Babylon, in which the semi-atomites were miscegenating like crazy. And when Noah was 480 years old, just slightly over halfway of his long life, he lived to be, I think, what, 950 years old, he was told to start building this boat. And people have asked me, how come Noah didn't just simply just move like Abraham did away from bad people? And the answer of it is that Yahweh had to make sure that the sinning Adamites who were miscegenating and creating the very world's first log died. So for 120 years, he went ahead and built the ark. And on his off time, went ahead and simply preached for people, stop miscegenating, stop going ahead and race messing with demons and demons and creating more mamzers. And from what I gather, nobody outside his immediate family went ahead and listened to him. And what he would do is he would go ahead and bring about his grandfather, Methuselah, who lived to the age of 969 years before he died. And he said, when Grandpa dies, this flood's going to be near. And they said, well, what do you mean flood? Well, rain's going to come out of the heavens. What do you mean rain? What's that? There's some belief that carbon dating doesn't really mean anything because in large part, now we end up having rain. But before, supposedly water came up from the ground and watered everything. Yahweh went ahead and irrigated. Now, did he irrigate wherever only Adamic man was? Well, maybe, maybe not. But essentially, the concept of rain was strange to Adamic man. But folks, let's say Noah or Methuselah died, and you were one of the very few whites remaining, and essentially you didn't want to go ahead and beg Noah for a ticket on the boat. What could you have done? Answer, you could have run. You could have run for your life, tried to make 20 miles a day and get outside the Tarim Basin, move outside the basin where this flood was coming. You could have any time, rather than continued to miscegenate, you could have gone ahead and moved to where the obedient Adamites were living in Western Asia or Europe. You could have moved any time. But no, if you like the bright lights and city, miscegenation of the first empire of Zog, Babylon, you wanted to stay there. You wanted to continue to miscegenate. And so you died in that flood. But you could have gone ahead and left Babylon at any single time. Well, folks, here we are in the third and final Zog, Babylon. And what does this show about? This show is not about advocating violence. It's not about advocating terrorism. It's advocating the rather simple notion that, folks, there is no ark for you to get on. The only ark, the only sanctuary is Jesus Christ and Yahweh and getting right with them. So what you should do as an obedient Israelite, as a Christian Israelite, is start heading for the exits. Start moving to where there are other obedient Adamites. Essentially, simplify your life and just simply, if you have a bunch of people who are dragging you down, like your family, who are marrying niggers or beaners or Jews or whatever, get away from there. Start moving away. Start moving away, getting out of there. Start working on saving your life. Now, the only ark today that will save you is Yahweh's protection. Jesus Christ's protection. But folks, what you can do is that you can go ahead and move away as much as possible from the Babylonian, the Zog, the third and final entrapments. Get away from there, folks. Save your very own life. And that's why I tell you, don't go ahead and go with a snitch like, for example, here's Alan Truett. Shows up on Eli James' show a couple months ago. He's a criminal. Oh, I'm an ex-criminal. I'm an ex-convict. Well, guess what? You can't find that he was ever in prison in Missouri or Illinois or the federal system. He lives in St. Charles. Why is that? Answer. And go, that's not allowed to supposedly be with open criminals, so why is that? Answer. And now he's Gillette's prison minister, but on the other hand, he's with Eli James. He was with Eli James earlier on Eli James' show. So what's going on? What is going on? And the answer is that this Mr. Truett and Morris Gillette are snitches. Now, Larry Bell declared that if he'd listened to Morty's voice, he'd be in prison for 30 years. And the answer? Well, if you get caught on audio tape or on videotape, drunk as a skunk, plotting to go ahead and rob banks in Alabama with a Confederate over a Bolivian nose candy. Yeah. Gillette was guilty as hell. Gillette was stupid and drunk. He's a crackhead. He's a drunken crackhead. That's why Ray Redfern had no choice but to kick him out. Butler figured out and said, hey, Morris Gillette's bad news. Bad news. Never brought him in. Morris Gillette has no business claiming to be Aryan Nations, or at least no more than Paul Mullett claiming to be Aryan Nations, and Paul Mullett has figured it out. He's gone ahead and kept his AryanNations88.com website. And I told him, look, Mullett, you're as much right to go up, drive from Chillicothe up to Columbus Secretary of State's office in the state capital of Columbus, Ohio, and register as Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Ohio, not of Missouri, because that's reserved for my particular corporation. But, Mullett, I don't really give a crap if you do that here. Now, it might be best if you knew a little bit about dual seed line Christian identity dogma, and you might go ahead and listen to my particular speeches. But, folks, from what I gather, Mullett hasn't got any of his people put in prison. At least Mullett has a little bit of brains, a little bit of leadership ability. And he has as much right to claim to be Aryan Nations as Gillette, more so, because Gillette was kicked out. Mullett's never been kicked out. So I have no problem with Paul Mullett, although, folks, I do not recognize running around in a uniform. I think that's stupid behavior. But I don't have any problem against Paul Mullett. If that's what you want to do, and if you're stupid enough to try it, go ahead and do it. I was listening to Gillette here. He was whining like a pussy about what happened in South Africa. Well, folks, the South Africans voted to die. They could have gone ahead and kept a thumb on the niggers. Or what they could have done is simply let the niggers have the places where the niggers outnumbered everybody. They could have gone ahead and let the Zulus have it in Natal. They could have let the rest of the niggers have it in the High Veld. And they could have gone ahead and back up to Cape Province, where they were a slight majority, and kicked the niggers out onto the plains, wherever they wanted to be. And essentially, they could have saved their lives, or they could have simply refused to go ahead and vote to die. But instead, that's exactly what they voted for. That is exactly what they voted for. They voted to die. And folks, in my 18 years, really more like only just 17 or 16, well, 17 on the internet, I've noticed that South Africans are the biggest pussy-whoop nitwits in the entire Christian identity pantheon because they allow their cunts to tell them what the fuck to do. And about every single South African twat I have ever seen believes that she has a right to speak in church, and therefore Paul ought to be removed from the Bible because he said women ought to be remain silent in church. And by the way, during this Ford Manzer show, old Ford Manzer was whining about how I got kicked out of the Grammy Telephone Company. Well, I got kicked out of the Grammy Telephone Company because this bitch, who's a big friend of Clint and Whiny Dave from PUK, got all pissy because 10 years ago, she went in and asked me what my opinion was. I said, well, Paul was correct. 1 Corinthians 14, what, 34 through 35, or 35 through 36, says women are to be remain silent in church. So therefore, Maggie, no, you don't get to go and speak in church. And she had a freaking fit. And she started sending me a bunch of crap, and I went ahead and sent her back some, and then she went ahead and went to the Grammy Telephone Company and bitched on September 10th. And then a month later, I got kicked off the Grammy Telephone, service here. And folks, something like that bitch ought to be skinned alive, her and her entire worthless piece of shit family for letting that cunt run wild and censor a white man. The same thing with Brian Leo. These people, if you cannot go ahead and allow a white man to speak, folks, there is a cure for censorship. And the censorship cure is that people who have a problem with white men saying whatever the hell they want us to say, as long as it's true, the penalty should be is that you have your ears chopped off, you have your nose cut off, you have your nose notched, ears chopped off, blinded. Essentially, if you don't like hearing what you have to see, you just don't have enough to go ahead and use the power of the government to censor white men. And essentially, you have no business not only living in a white country, but you have no business being offended. It's so hard to offend it here if you don't have no ears to hear, eyes to see, or tongue to speak to go ahead and cause any more shit. But folks, the South African people voted to die, and die they will. And I'm not going to feel sorry for Wiggers voting to die. And that's what the South Africans were, a bunch of pussy-whooped Wiggers who voted to die nearly 20 years ago. And sure enough, they knew what niggers were like, and sure enough, they ended up going ahead and voting to die. Because they were fucking stupid. Any single time, they could have simply gone ahead and got rid of their traitors and sent their traitors to live with the niggers. The niggers were not able to go ahead and meet against the South Africans. In fact, they betrayed the niggers because, shoot, under apartheid, niggers went from what? Being, 3 million population to being 35 million population, outnumbering the Wiggers. That's what apartheid did. Made the world safe for niggers to breed. For the whites to feed and the niggers to breed. That's exactly what it was. And folks, what we have is we have Wigger traitors who cannot mind their own business. Folks, these internet service providers who have been given freedom under corporation and then go ahead and want to be politically correct, they have no business living in a white country. They ought to go ahead and go to a country here where, guess what, they can either try to be a small portion of the ruling class, or they can be the vast majority of the slaves. Well, folks, if you do not go ahead and allow for free speech to happen, and that's what Brian Rio is against, he's against free white speech. He's against anybody saying that he's a nigger when he's a nigger. Now, last night, Saturday night, I went ahead and asked old news guy, and the character turned out to be a Jew. I have no doubt he's a Jew. And essentially, here he was sucking Brian Rio's dick here for a wonderful interview. Is he going to go ahead and have anybody listening to him? No. The reason he had quite a few people listening to him is I got on and straightened him out. I bet this character knew what a Mamzer was, probably as good or better than I did. With a name like Goodman, chances are he's a Jew. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead. Well, as anybody can hear, I'm not exactly a domestic type myself. My Roxy went ahead and asked me to turn off the air conditioner. She was cold. And so I got up and turned it off. If you're a man who's lived with a woman, you end up, you know, I mean, it's not a matter of just because you are responsible, it's not a matter of tyrannizing over other people, especially the ones that you love. Okay? But, getting on with it, where was I? South Africans, because they were pussy whoop dolts, voted to die. And die they are. As a people, as a race, they are essentially being ruled over by the niggers. And Morris Gillette, on his little Aryan Nations pretend show, was going ahead and doing that. Now, folks, this Truett has had his prison record expunged somehow. Why is that? Why, he's going with Eli James, who is a known Jew, known as Chicago Sephardic Jew. And essentially, he was whining like a pussy about trolls! Folks, if you cannot freaking answer the question, just because these people go ahead and answer it, about your loyalties and where the hell you're coming from, and what makes you know what you're talking about, I guess you cannot answer it here. All you can do is whine like a pussy about trolls and then whine, oh please, I wish I had some censorship. This show does not censor. I had some people going ahead and whining. And the only time I went ahead and blocked people off is when they were deliberately spamming the talk show. This talk show place here. Deliberately spamming in order to go ahead and destroy what was being said in the chat room. Now, folks, it was up to me. I'd go ahead and have a branding iron for people who go ahead and deliberately do that shit. But folks, I've never censored anybody. Well, I did censor about two Jews, but they'd already censored me, you know, over my time. But you have these people whining and bitching and pissing and moaning, trying to get some moral relevance to their evil, vicious, twisted lives here. But what was Morris Gillette's and Alan Truett's solution to South Africa? Oh, let's go ahead and whine, and let's go ahead and get a bunch of young, stupid skinheads to run around in a little Nazi uniform, to which I really do not have any, you know, to which he does not really have any claim, since he was specifically kicked out of the Aryan Nations. If he wants to go ahead and put himself in a Legion of Skanks uniform, that's a different matter. But see, he doesn't want to go ahead and claim to be Legion of Saints. He wants to claim to be Aryan Nations, even though essentially he was kicked out of Aryan Nations, if you go ahead and ask. And I said, what the hell is the purpose of that? Are you trying to go ahead and get young men identified, photographed, fingerprinted by Zog and Jews, and get them in trouble? Well, yeah, Duke Nuker was one of them, or Chat Nukem. Well, it's very nice if you have them, but if you're a young person here who essentially doesn't have any means to support himself, how are you going to go ahead and support yourself? How are you going to go ahead and support a family if you can't support yourself because now you've been identified as a, quote, Nazi and a, quote, idiot and a, quote, domestic terrorist or something like that here, and where, folks, nobody wants to hire you because even if you have something to produce here, essentially you're going to have a bunch of unruly, screaming Jews and niggers going ahead and saying, He hired a Nazi. It's a self-indulgent whim of Goetz that is set in line for snitching. Folks, Goetz is a snitch. Have no doubt about it. He used to not be able to go ahead and get access to Harold Grooms' $400,000. Now he has sort of some access to the $500,000. Not very much, just to go ahead and keep him sort of busy and pretend to be an Aryan Nations character. He's not. He don't need the money. He don't need to lead these young men into doing something stupid that will destroy their lives for a long, long time. But Goetz doesn't care. Goetz doesn't care for anything other than himself. He didn't care for anything other than his damn nose or his pecker. Lives with mommy and all this here. He was going ahead and, you know, yapping the shit about how I was a child molester. And I pointed out, I said, hey, this thing's been, that case got dismissed. Unlike you, Goetz, who went ahead and were guilty as hell and had to go ahead and plead guilty and you took some 23-year-old kid down with you. Folks, there's a reason you got kicked out. There's a reason Ray Redfern said, well, I've known Mo Goetz here since high school. I love him like a brother, but trouble follows him like a stray dog. Goetz didn't accomplish anything other than getting stupid young men put into jail. And folks, same sort of stupid shit. I mean, I stuck my neck out for him. I stuck my neck out for Goetz. I went ahead and called up this Gillespie, this associate prosecuting attorney. Never threatened. I don't threaten anybody. Certainly not federal judges. Certainly not assistant United States prosecuting attorneys. That's a rare stupid thing to do. And what I did is I managed to patiently get out of Gillespie where he was actually, where Goetz was being held at, and arranged for him to go ahead and hear Goetz goes ahead. Because he's a big old pussy. He's a real sanctimonious pussy. Didn't like me using a few Anglo-Saxon monosyllables. And folks, Goetz is just nothing more than a drunken cokehead and a snitch. Just call me a child molester. Even though he knew better. Even though he said different. Talk about how tough he is. I'm going to beat your ass. He's 5'5". He's never won. He's probably never won a single fist fight in his entire fucking life. I'm supposed to go down to Louisiana, beat his ass. I told him to go ahead, him, Truett, and Liar Bill Mumpsnuffs the Clueless, to go ahead and just all get in one car here, bring along a nigga that needs to molest here, come to my house, and I'll make him a bunch of steers, and they can all go back to St. Louis here as steers. And then go ahead and hop in that, you know, different one without having to worry and go ahead about producing any nigga offspring here once they're gelded. Oh, by the way, Liar Bill is threatening Banjo Billy. Essentially, Liar Bill was talking about a private fight, and he was talking about bringing 12 of his idiots. Liar Bill does not have 12 idiots. Liar Bill cannot, you know, Liar Bill is a bigger pussy than, you know, Morris Goetz. I don't know what, you know, Truett is like a fighting man, but chances are, Truett is probably just an Anglo-Messiah pretending to be Christianity anyway here. Goetz white. I think Liar Bill's white, but essentially they're just idiots. A lot of them aren't even white. But what happened with Goetz is he got set up by this Joshua Caleb Sutter, who in turn got set up by another little snitch. And here's this Scott Charles Thornton trying to go ahead and be a snitch and get me in trouble, and I just pretty well told him to fuck off. And then he whined like a pussy. Yeah, it's because of Chrissy, you like Goetz, I'm free. And then, and 4 months later, he's pretending to be Goetz, you know, in the Legion of Saints. And last time I talked to Goetz, he said he didn't have any, you know, contact with Scott Charles Thornton, or Charles Scott Thornton. Why? Because he's still a criminal. He's not allowed to go ahead and associate with other felons. Okay, so how come you're associating with Alan Truett? Answer? Because, hey, you're a Zogbot. Truett's a Zogbot. Folks, their plan is to go ahead and get your name and get you in order to play that you're Aryan Nations, to get you in a little uniform, pretend to be a little state leader. Is that going to go ahead and save the South Africans? No. All it's going to do is get you put in trouble, but these people want to get young men in trouble. And that is evil. That is evil. Morris Goetsch has not done a single worthwhile thing his entire life. That's where I met Pastor John Britton, as he was trying to get me to support Morris Goetsch. I supported Morris Goetsch, and Morris Goetsch betrayed me. Just because, well, instead, he wants to go ahead and he wants to use prion poison. He wants to go ahead and essentially geld all the spawn of regime criminals and use their daughters for broodstock for a new master race. Yep. Yep, I said that. And I haven't gone back on it. I'm pretty well not talk so much about prion poison because I found out that nobody was actually spreading prion poison deliberately, but rather it was being spread by simple greed because the U.S. Department of Agriculture allows these game farms to exist. So prion poisoning is spreading. It's just not spreading because of direct action is being spread because of greed. So since it's good to prion poison spread, why should you go ahead and make a big deal, which will go ahead and close it because of greed, when it won't go ahead and be spread because of deliberate action? Answer? Well, that's why I've gone ahead and not said too much about prion poisoning anymore. It's being spread, but it's not being spread by design. It's being spread by stupidity and greed. Zog stupidity and greed, and allowing these deer farms to continue to operate when they all should be shut down, if you really wanted to halt the spread of chronic wasting disease. But hey, I want to spread, so hey. So it's not going to be spread by design because, most zoglings, all zoglings are pussies. Then let it be spread by disease. Same way with AIDS here. I mean, it's sort of stupid, if you're J.B. Stoner, to tell dying old white guys to go ahead and fuck nigger prostitutes and then spread AIDS that way. Well, essentially, faggots will go ahead, and faggots and niggers will spread it for free. Anyway, you kill all the faggots and niggers. Okay? All J.B. Stoner said was thank God for gays. He didn't say anything about, having actually any old geezers like him spread it. But getting all of it, Gillette, and Truett. I mean, there's no reason to do it. Here's Truett going up with Eli James of all people. Well, folks, Gillette used to dislike Eli James. Why? Because his Coke buddy, Bradley Jenkins, didn't like Eli James and didn't like Dan Jones. They wanted to beat the shit out of him in August Christ. Wanted to beat the shit out. Here's Eli James going ahead and saving Dan Jones from an ass whooping. And Dan Jones, Eli James is a Jew. But yeah, Eli James is not a pussy Jew. He's not a cowardly Jew. He was an officer in Vietnam, from what I gather. And that's why I view Eli James as being far more dangerous than Bill Fink. Fink is just a dirty, lying Jew criminal. A complete sociopath. Once you've been Fink-fucked, you're not off here. Brian Reynolds, a nigger. He makes a wonderful Judas Manser. Anybody who doesn't say Brian Reynolds, a nigger, well, I know there's something wrong with that character, at least as I saw it. But Eli James is a far more dangerous character to Christian identity because he has been in it for 25 or 30 years. I was talking to Pastor John Britton the other day. He said, well, shoot, we're talking about Eli James. And said, he said, well, you had my dad sort of fooled. I said, well, yes, but, he probably knew better than bring a nigger, a faggot nigger like Brian Real in and say, oh, no, he's white here. You got to go ahead and wait for a DNA test here. Look, John, if old Eli James would have gone ahead and brought him a nigger faggot like Brian Real and said, well, you can't call him a nigger faggot. Well, that's breaking Yahweh's law. That's slander. you've got to wait till, you know, me and the nigger faggot decide to give a DNA test. You know, do you think your dad, you know, do you think your dad will fall for that shit? Well, no. Okay, then. It's because stuff which would have been rejected out of hand in Pastor John Britton's Father's Day is now allowed because of politically correct horseshit. You can't go ahead and say, well, good Lord, it looks like a nigger faggot to me. Well, I'm breaking Yowie's law by saying that, oh, that critter looks like a nigger faggot Duke Mamser to me. Why, it's just impolite to go ahead and say that Brian Real ain't white or heterosexual. But here you have a bunch of idiot nambusters, and Brian Real went ahead and took down their webpage, and then yesterday, Stan's lying again. Stan's present hoster told Stan that he could go ahead and hot link to pictures of Brian Real all he wants. He just simply couldn't have the actual JPEG or whatever files on the hoster. Because he would claim there's a DMCA complaint here that he owns the pictures, even though he don't. But you can hot link all you want. And Stan has been lying. And what happens? This news guy, a.k.a. Peter, you know, Peterless Goodmanser, Goodman, was simply making a deal with Brian Real, but essentially, you know, look, Brian Real, if you ain't going to show up, you ain't going to show up. You said you show up. We're not going to have special rules for you. And folks, I didn't go ahead and ask 20, you know, say 20 questions on which to ask. Are you white, Brian Real? No. The first question was, is Brian Real white? Yes or no? And folks, if you're a Jew who wants to bring in a nigger into the congregation, well, hey, you know, no, Brian Real's sort of white. I mean, that's what got Eli James in trouble, protecting a nigger, you know, nigger goop, you know, beater faggot like Brian Real. I didn't listen to all this sort of stuff, but Brian Real, essentially, did nothing but lie. He goes ahead and says, you know, and some of these lies are interesting. He's sort of claiming that old Victor Switzer, somebody from Arkansas, is that I went ahead and got him fired from his job. Well, no. I mean, it would have been nice, but I was asking old Buckifer. Buckifer! Will you go ahead and give me old Victor Switzer's name because he's called me a child molester and a Jew? And Buckifer wouldn't go ahead and give up old, you know, Spictor Spinker, Victor Switzer. But yet, Victor Switzer disappeared on February 12th or 13th of this year from the Finkelsteinies. Now, folks, who knew his real name and where he really lived? All I knew was he lived around, what the hell is that, you know, shithole nigger city in Arkansas's name? Pine Bluff. That's all I knew. You know, that's where the IP number came, but didn't tell me what city he lived, what his real name was. All he was, I just think he was an Anglo mestizo who came in to Christian Dave because of this, and he ran off. Lying piece of shit, you know, said that I was a Jew because, hey, there's a famous Jew named Samuelson. Hey, well, good Lord. List has been hiding his mother's name, no? Some, I mean, what happens? The Samuelsons went ahead and married their cousins, Spensons and the Swensons and the Ericksons and all this sort of thing. And, you know, my sister was bitching to me. Do you know that Charles Samuelson married his second cousin? He brought her over. He brought her over from Southwest Sweden. He married his second cousin, and that's why we may be a little screwed up. I said, we ain't screwed up. Good Lord, there's a bunch of idiots here. Charles Samuelson and his second cousin wife managed to go ahead and breed 11 children, and every single one of them got to maturity. I don't think there was a single one of them who died before the age of 30 or 40. You know, and my grandfather Martin was the youngest here. Pastor Britton said that in the United States, the least proportion of Jews are on the central parts of North and South Dakota. Well, folks, I could have told you that. There's not millions of Swedish Jews running around in the plains of central South Dakota feeding cattle in the January South Dakota winter without a single tree other than the cottonwood in the gulch. Not a single one of them going ahead and trying upland wheat farming. Jews are rather, folks, I've never even seen a Jew in South Dakota. In fact, I've seen my very first nigger in South Dakota in 2001. It was just a nigger from Chicago, you know, going ahead and seeing the state capitol. He got off the interstate on I-90. Very first nigger I seen was in 2001. You know, well, the very first nigger I seen in South Dakota. Yeah, I'm sure they have them in St., you know, Sioux Falls. Maybe they have some of them in Rapid City back when they used to be the Ellsworth Air Force Base. I'm quite sure they had niggers then. But the very first nigger I've seen here. And, folks, there are some Jews. Jew lawyers in, you know, in Pierre. But folks on the Lone Prairie going ahead and living the hard life of a cattle farmer or camel rancher, it can be a hard life. If you don't pay attention to what you're doing in a blizzard, you could die. So, yeah, I don't, you know, there's no such thing as Swedish Jews living on the Lone Prairie. I'm pointing out that, you know, my great-grandfather, Charles Samuelson, came over from Sweden. He was drafted in the Union Army in 1863. He got a double homestead. We got mustered out in 1865. He walked 120 miles from Sioux City up to what would later become Sioux Falls, you know, just shy of, you know, to the southwest. He got double homestead on Beaver Creek, and he found a place with pin oaks, and he made him a log cabin. And I showed the state park of my great-grandfather Charles. Was he a Jew? Hell no. And folks, it doesn't really matter, because, shoot, I can go ahead and say, is that one of my weaknesses? Is a love of bacon. I mean, shoot, us Swedes do love our pork. We love eating pork, and I have that. I'm sort of prey to that too here. You know, but here you have Brian Reel going ahead and, for an example, when I listened to a little bit about, oh, how I got in trouble in August of 1994 with a fist fight. The city council meeting, to where I called the city councilman a moral leper and a child molester. Well, folks, I didn't call him a moral leper. I didn't call him a child molester. It was some little cocksucker that they went ahead and appointed, and I was fighting with their damn pigs here, essentially. Are you a problem with the police? I said, yeah, there are a bunch of pigs here. What are you, some sort of moral leper that supports them? He went ahead and took a swing on me. I was surprised. He took another swing, he missed. I went ahead and I went ahead and gave him a punch. Aimed for his big old nose, but missed. And so he got the worst of it, and then all these pigs, including one on city council, just jumped on top of me. And I got arrested for causing a riot. Well, I was the one who swung the first punch, and they knew it. So then it goes to this piece of shit Scott Watson, who later on would charge me with this bogus child molestation shit after they'd gone ahead and stole the children. But this was 1994. And essentially what boils down to, as I point out, is disturbing the peace is a horseshit charge. So he goes ahead and he talks to the faggot Judge Stremmel, who would later go ahead and charge me with statutory sodomy. That boils down to, well, no disturbance of the peace occurred, no assault occurred. Well, hell, assault did occur. Essentially, you allow these criminals and these pigs to go ahead and assault somebody, and then when it looks like they're about to get their fucking ass whooped here, you jump with a whole bunch of pigs and government workers on top of the person who got assaulted, and then you charge him with the crime. Folks, something like that is treasonous. It is using the power of the state against an individual for a corrupt member of the state. And essentially, it should be punished with not only the death of the regime criminal, but the death of the regime criminal's entire family and anybody who supports that regime criminal. And that's what needs to happen in this great tribulation. Anybody who supports the policeman the lawyer, the judge, or the current, you know, Jew world order, they need to die. And folks, they all need to die. That's why a great tribulation is necessary. That's why using the instruments of civil war when this regime falls apart. That is what's going to go ahead and save the white race from the cancer, and the cancer is 90% or better of the so-called white race here, just like happened in Noah's time. Nobody that we know of, other than Noah and his family, survived the first law of Babylon. Now, were there some who may have seen what was coming and knew better than just simply beg to get on the boat, who maybe might decide to run out of the Tarim Basin and save themselves? I don't know. Maybe there weren't any. Maybe there were 10 or 12. Or 100, maybe. Who knows? Who may have just simply said, hey, folks, this breeding with demons and jinx and Rephaim and Nephilim is getting way out of hand. It's time for us to leave this, well, I guess you couldn't say Sodom and Gomorrah, but leave this place and essentially join our kinsmen who decide to stay out, you know, in Western Asia, or maybe go so far as Europe and live in the forest, free of unity and under central control. And there might have been a bunch of them here who, even independent of Noah, realized this was not for them. This was not for them. Because that's what Dual Seedline believes, is that, hey, there was a local flood, not a worldwide flood. We don't believe that Japheth married a yellow woman, that Shem was the only one who married a white woman, and that Ham married a nigger woman. We don't believe that, although Ham did screw a nigger woman, supposedly aboard the Ark. But, folks, you know, Ham was just another worthless wigger, just like Esau. But, folks, this has happened before, and to someone who knows what is going on, it's going to happen again, but this time it's going to be for the last time ever. So what is this show about, the Movement Turd? The Movement Turd says that the bowel movement is nothing more than, it's just nothing more than a cesspool. And pretty well, I have the turd of the day or the turd of the month. And what's going on in our stupid, dysfunctional, evil, Zogbot-infested, Mamzer-infested, Jew-infested bowel movement isn't going to save you. It's going to kill you if you stick around it. It's going to get you in jail. So folks, please, 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 stay out of this. Stay out of this bowel movement, because it's nothing more. It's worse than a wasteland. It's a cesspool. It's evil. And stay away from it if you wish to live. If you wish to die, yeah, by all means, go ahead. Go ahead. So, I think I've covered enough for tonight. And, folks, well, essentially, this show will not even be recorded. I didn't think I was going ahead and starting it, but hey, I was able to go ahead and make it on my MP3 player. We had chat the entire time. So folks, I think I've covered pretty well about anything here. I'm not quite sure. No, I didn't throw punches in court. It was, well, you did have court session. It was one of these Granby pig lice and council critter riots here. I've been arrested by the pigs. Back in the 90s, you had another family called the McCamish. They were a bunch of wild men. You know, I mean, there have been riots in the Granby City Council, and essentially it used to be what I call Council Critter and Pig Lice riots. In 1995, I was falsely arrested and beaten up while handcuffed by a Mexican pig named Chandler. I mean, essentially, that's what pigs do in these small towns, and these crooked Anglo mestizos want this sort of thing to happen. So this shit has happened here. As far as what happened in 1994, Council Quitter didn't like my, making fun of the little pig department. Came up decisively to go ahead and assault me. I called him a moral rep. I didn't call him a child molester like Brian Real claims. That's a lie by Brian Real. He went ahead and, he went ahead and hit me. Cut a little, tear in my cheek. I went ahead and aimed for his bit. He swung. I ducked. I went ahead and got out of it, and he fell to his knees, and then I went ahead and aimed for his big old nose, and I gave him a good-sized punch. I probably should have kicked that bastard in the head, but I didn't. And then the pigs, the little pigs about which I was bitching about, four of them jumped on me, including two city government workers, Grammy, and they went ahead and piled on me. Shit, I had pigs on my arms and legs, and essentially I was pinned down, and I got charged with starting a riot. Even though I was the one who strung the first punch here. Because that piece of shit, I had an audio recording of it. And essentially, Scott Watson, who was a prostituting attorney at the time, decided to go ahead and lie about it. Well, less than a week later, this was on the 9th of August, 1994, and it was printed in the, in the paper, and it made the local news and all that, made the TV news. And maybe one of these days I'll go ahead and see, I'll go ahead and, maybe find the VCR tape here of it. I think I have the actual, I still have the yellowing, sheets of paper about it. I bought a number of them here, and essentially the paper tried to be fair about it. But anyway, well, hey, the charge was bullshit. So they went ahead and threw out the real assault charge against the city council quitter. So, folks, was it the way it is? No, Wire Bill, he comes up with some sort of shit about how I'm a big pussy and how I run to the cops, and that's what Brian Real said. No, he's the one who runs to the fucking cops, whining. Oh, he's in danger from me or John Britton or whatever, after he's gone ahead and incensed people. Don't say anything about going ahead and trying to shove a spear through someone's head, a 6-year-old woman's head in a wheelchair. I mean, it's Brian Reeves is the character girls run to the pigs all the time, not me. I hate the pigs. They know it. I go ahead and just go through the motions to set up a lawsuit. That's all I do. Pigs are not on my side. The pigs know I just skin them out. I will. Hopefully. Yahweh willing. But in any case, Brian Reeves just lied and lied and lied. Doesn't matter to me, hell no. Brian Real is my Judas Mamzer. If you side with Brian Real, at least I know which side you're on. You're not certainly not on you're not on Yahweh's side. You're on Zog's side. News guy? Shit, he's just a lying Jew whore is all he is. Stan doesn't need to go ahead and censor, I mean, look, Stan was going to go ahead and let Nimbusters fall apart on May 1st. He was going to renew the domain name, and then Brian Real took it down. Now he's been butt-fucked by Brian Real so much, he has Stockholm Syndrome. Does he need to have Stockholm Syndrome? No. His present server says, hey, all the Brian Real hyperlinks you want. But hey, you have these people. And folks, this movement is about going ahead and trapping stupid wiggers who don't like it. Folks, don't be a stupid wigger. Make your way to the exit. Just like possibly a number of people in Noah's time figured out independently that living in Zog Babylon was not for them, and they made their way clear. But today it's a whole lot harder. So stay away from the movement, folks. Running around in an Aryan Nations costume like a clown is not going to save the stupid Uyghurs of South Africa who voted to die 20 years ago or so. Vote to live. Vote to stay free. Vote to go ahead. Don't have anything to do with this bowel movement of ours. If you take nothing away from that, folks, I do not insist. I don't really want to know your name. I don't do any data mining. If you have something to say, you can say it on my forum. But if you don't have anything to say, well, then don't say nothing here, folks. Folks, the life you save, it's up to you. It's up to Yahweh, it's up to you as to whether you live in the upcoming collapse. And folks, if Yahweh is against you, there's nothing I can do for you. Nothing I will do for you. Folks, it's like in many cases, Yahweh doesn't care one way or the other where you live or die. And if you try to live, well, you have a better chance of living than if you are trying to die, trying to get yourself killed, trying to do stupid shit because you're a Mamzer or a Uyghur or whatever. Save your life. This particular show is not about inciting violence. In fact, this particular show is about you staying away from trouble. Understanding where that trouble is, and when the time comes, yes, there'll be time to rise up, but this time is not now. It certainly is not now. Stay away from trouble. So, well, the thing about it is I don't really care. I mean, if you start a new board, what's it to me? What's it to me? Okay? Did find his soulmate in Zuqua? Ham found Tubal Cain's sister, Naama. And from what I gather, there was a Negress on board on the Ark. He screwed it, too. I don't know where John Britton gets this here, but he says, and usually I listen to what he says because, I mean, I was pretty well raised in Herbert Armstrong's church, so I didn't have such conversations. But from my Gary, he said that according to the Ark, there were three critters which had sex aboard the Ark. One was a dog, one was a raven, and the third was Ham. From what I gather, his son Cush, was the offspring of this nigger. Now, he had a white wife who went ahead and gave birth to Mizraim, who was the father of the Egyptians. It was allowed to breed with the Egyptians, and the Egyptian offspring could get into the house of Israel after three generations. But what he did is he went ahead and bought this Jew bitch Naama, and she gave birth to Canaan. And we know where all these Jews come from. Well, not all of them, but some of them, like Eli James. Okay? So, yeah, it's sort of pathetic to start a new board to harass and mock Hal Turner. I mean, what good does that do? Hal Turner isn't around to appreciate it. Hal Turner's in jail. And, folks, I despise Hal Turner. I despise Hal Turner. He was just a Uyghur piece of shit. He was essentially just a thief trying with sci-fi Faber to get idiots in trouble. And, folks, if I'd known about Hal Turner at the time, there would have been a bunch of Hal Turner. There would have been a bunch of Hal Turner, anti-Hal Turner shows. I'd have been ridiculing the shit out of Hal Turner. Of course, Hal Turner probably would have been ridiculing the shit out of me. Okay? But, folks, I don't really hate Hal Turner. He's just, I've seen so many critters like Hal Turner who essentially want to save Zog for for the sake of saving Czar, because it's so wonderful. It's a wonderful country. It just has some bad influences of facing Jews and, you know, bad cops or something like that. Here he comes, collecting money from the Phibbies to snitch. So do I have, you know, I mean, certainly, you know, Hal Turner was a Bernie Madoff of white nationalism. Essentially, usually you don't treat your snitches like that, but they decided to make an exception in Hal Turner's case because he was thieving them blind. He was just simply a con man. He was a Bernie Madoff of white nationalism. Now, folks, I don't much care for bitch tits Bill White here. Don't much care for Hal Turner. But, in any case, dodgy people who there is no upside in associating with. No upside in associating with. There's a lot of downsides. Lots of downsides. But there's no upside in associating with Hal Turner. And folks, really, is there any real upside in associating with me? I mean, this show is, in many cases, for entertainment. But folks, I'm not trying to get anybody to join my church. In fact, I try to discourage it. This show, as far as I can, is, you know, trying. I mean, folks, the NSA can see all, know all, know if you're logging in or, you know, probably over on Crisis Host, downloading my show. I'm not anything I can do about it, okay? Nothing I can do about it. But folks, essentially, you know, I'm not creating a movement. I'm not really, you know, I mean, the only leadership I have is a moral leadership, telling you that it is right here. I mean, what I'm trying to do is to speak to the 10,000 warlords, saying that, hey, these people who rule us, are Shabbos wiggers and Jews and Mamzers, and they need to go ahead and die. But folks, it's not only just the regime criminals that need to die, it's the wiggers who went ahead and supported these criminals, who supported all these niggers and beaners and the rest coming in. And they will get their punishment. Yahweh went ahead and said way back in Deuteronomy, if you don't obey me, the racial aid will be raised very high and you would be brought very low. So why are you trying to gainsay Yahweh's just curse on those who do not know how to behave? Why? And the answer of it is that there is no good reason. Some of these things happen to bad people, and rightfully so. So, folks, I think I've talked long enough. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. And I'll try to go ahead and have this show up relatively soon, okay? Hopefully by Tuesday. Hail Victory, folks. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, on this city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn hat logs, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling land, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn hot dogs, let red blood flow.
For whenever rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sawdling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out Castro. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the fort outlaws, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause of right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.